Night. Y'all know what Friday night mean, right? Hey, we talking about Freedom Friday up in here tonight. That's right, y'all. So I hope y'all ready for a great show. Because we're going to be talking about, we're going to be continuing what we started yesterday, talking about step-parents, sibling molestation, and whatever else we want to talk about. So go on and get that drink, whatever you may be intaking this evening. And you just sit back, relax. Because we're going to have a conversation for you. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio, and I am your host, Mr. Talk. And now if you ever want to join the conversation, no problem. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Send me a message at letstalk@gmail.com. Or you can go to my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. Hey, I'm telling you, or just jump in the chat room. Either way you want to do it, man, I'm telling you, we are here for you tonight. And like I say, we have one outstanding, great, great, great show going on for you. So if you're just getting off a plane, getting in from work, go on and get that glass of wine, you know, that beer if you want your beer. Get in your comfortable chair, sit on down, and just relax. That's right, just relax. And that's a nice groove, isn't it? Ooh, I tell you. Hey, y'all, what's going on out there? Now, that's a nice groove, man. I can listen to that groove for a minute. You hear me? That's why I don't be wanting to turn it off when I start talking. That man, that groove had been going, and you'd be rocking a little bit. And bebopping a little bit, he'd be like, wow. Yeah, get you all in a good mood. Oh, my goodness, get you all in a good mood. All right, y'all, so today is Friday, and this is Freedom Friday. That's right, I turned the fun out of it. Yeah, it's too much tongue. It tied my tongue too much. After the show, I would have to go back and untie my tongue. So we just going to call it Freedom Friday. That's right. And it's the 22nd of March, 2013. And this is Mr. Talk, man. And, man, I'm ready for y'all this evening. Now, before we go ahead and get started and do whatever the other great things that we do when we do and how we do them, can't y'all tell it's Friday night because I'm feeling it a little bit. Yeah. You know, there's a few things that we do need to get on out the way. And because there's a few things we need to get out the way, let's go on ahead and knock that out right about now. You know what I'll find out, though? Maybe sometime before I start throwing the house rules down, maybe I should wait for some people to show up first. Because I think some people just forget about what the house rules are. And so when I take my time and slap them upside the head, you know, and they're not talking anymore, they get upset with me. However, I'm not trying to make anybody get upset. What all I'm trying to do is help you understand that we encourage open dialogue on the show, people. We like to hear what you have to say. We love it. I thrive off the things y'all say. However, we all cannot talk at the same time. And when we try, no one is heard. Important points are missed. You become irritated. And he gets on my damn nerves. I'm just going to put it out there. So, let's respect each other's turn to talk. That's all I'm asking. Someone else is talking, you just wait till they're finished. You know, but and if you have something that you would like to say and you have to say it, write it down. So after that individual finishes talking, you can go ahead and make your piece because you remember what it was because you wrote it down. See, now you didn't figure that one out, did you? Well, I helped you with that one. Okay. All right. Also, let's make your responses and your comments short and sweet as possible. If we, by chance, should happen to have a full switchboard, and we need to start implementing a time limit, we shall. There'll be a 3-minute time limit for everybody. And, of course, we will adhere to that. Of course, I'm the one who made that decision. Also, Just because you hear someone talking and you don't agree with them, please do not call in and start yelling and arguing with that person. As I mentioned before, we are adults here. We do encourage open dialogue. Don't call in attacking someone else. If you have a point that you would like to make, please make that point. That's all. Just make your point. Now, if you by chance still want to attack that person, just let me know. And I'll hook you two up somewhere private and y'all gonna do whatever y'all want to do. But as far as the show go, let the show move forward. That's all I say. That's all I ask. No personal attacks, okay? No personal attacks. Because it drives me crazy. And it drives my other listeners crazy. And then we're all just sitting here wondering, like, what the hell happened? Okay? So we got that going, too. All right. And also, by any chance, any of these guidelines are violated, I will slap you upside your head. We move from tasing to slapping you upside your head now. All right? We no longer are tasing. We hitting you upside your head, which means we still muting you. All right? Now, the first mute may be a couple of seconds, but the more times I have to mute you, the longer it's going to take for you to get back. And if I have to do it too many times, you're not coming back. I'm going to hit the X on you. That means you have been banished. What a great word is that, huh? Banished. You have been banished from... Yeah. So, okay. Can we please get that going? Why not? It's easy. Because I love all my listeners. I really do. And I really appreciate y'all calling in and giving me y'all words and y'all comments. And we laugh, we joke, we clown, and we get serious. And that's a great thing, man. That's a great thing. But we need to get it together on some things, all right? All right. You know, I take it that sometimes blog talk would be tripping, man. Cause I know yesterday it was like it was a carrying me live for a moment. So it takes people a little longer to find me. But I'll still be here. Okay? Now, usually I have a song of the day. But for some reason, I just didn't get a song of the day. I wonder why. Okay. That's interesting. But guess what? I have a song today in my mind already. And the song of the day is "The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round, Round and Round, Round and Round. The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round." Okay, I don't know the rest of the song, but that's the song of the day, okay? The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round. And the reason why the wheels on the bus going round and round today, because I threw a whole lot of people under the bus yesterday. We really did. So that is the song of the day. The wheels on the bus go round and round. I know some of y'all say, oh, Lord, he done lost it. I am not drinking either. I am not drinking. Well, I am drinking some green tea. I do apologize. And no, there's nothing in it. Nothing in it as of now. Okay. Now, with that being said, okay, we good on that. Now, here we go. The quote of the day. And, you know, in looking for something, when you look for a quote of the day, you're looking for something that's going to stand out, something that's really going to pique your interest. And I want the quote of the day to make y'all think also, to give you a little thought. Especially right now going into the weekend, I want you to, you know, think about some things and see, can we come up with, help your day be a little better? Huh? Now, this quote of the day here is so plain and so simple that many people don't even think about it like this. But once you stop and think about it, you're right. And once you learn to accept it like this, you'll be a whole lot happier, that's for sure. And here's the quote of the day. Accept that some days you are the pigeon, and some days you are the statue. That's by Dave Brent. Okay? Y'all want me to say it one more time? Okay. The quote of the day is, accept that some days you are the pigeon, and some days you are the statue. That is my quote of the day. Oh, Lord. Is that too deep for some of y'all? Y'all really want me to make it plain and simple for you what it really means? That's what y'all want. Okay. Here's what that quote of the day means. Some days you'll be the one shitting on people, and other days you'll be the one getting shit on. That's all it means. But once you learn to accept that, man, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. In other words, you can't win them all. Some days you're going to win. Some days you're going to lose. But you got to keep going. And that is the key, people. You have to keep going. Once you keep going, man, I tell you, you got it. You there then. You there. You really are. So that's the quote of the day. Accept that some days you are the pigeon and some days you are the statue. I know. Pretty good one, pretty good one. All right, I see someone has their hand raised real early here, so let me bring them on in. All right, what's going on? Happy Friday to you. It's Freedom Friday. What you got going on tonight?
Are we talking about step-parents tonight?
Yes, we are. We said that yesterday. Talking about step-parents and sibling molestation. You remember that? That's what we talked about yesterday, right? Because we had our scenario. So, you know, we still going to work on our scenario also.
Okay.
So, yeah, we got some things. Yeah. We got some things going on. But, you know, as we always do, Joe. Y'all. This is Montana Joe without the religion, okay? That's what we have on the line.
That's right. There you go.
There you go. That's what we have on the line. I could resist that one. I'm sorry. But, you know what, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
And okay, let's go on and start talking about some things while we wait on the rest of them to get here. Yesterday, me and you were talking, mm-hmm. and we were talking about the kid that killed himself, the little kid killed himself. And I was reading today, and two teenagers shot a baby and shot a 13-month-old baby mm-hmm. in the stroller in front of their mom. One was 17. And one was 14. You know, just because he wanted money, and when the lady told him they didn't have any money, he told her, give me your money or I'm going to kill your baby. What the heck is going on? And, you know, that made me think about what we was talking about today. Once mm-hmm. again, you know, white lady, white baby. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, and remember we were saying, why is it that In the hood, this goes on constantly, and you hear nothing, but as soon as something happened in suburbia, everything, you know, just gets put in news and carried away like that.
Right.
And I had to sit down and think about this, Joe, and I figured it out. It basically comes down to status and resources. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because in the hood, everybody figure, okay, they living in poverty anyway, okay. You know, it probably was over drugs and so forth and so on. you know, and resources. Ain't nobody got the resources to go in and nobody, I'm not going to say have the resources, but no one is willing to extend or put out any more resources than necessary to find out why something happened and, you know, what caused it. Understand
well,
what I'm saying?
I think the government has done a lot of studies about what's caused poverty and crime in the inner city.
Wait a minute, Joe. Wait, Joe. Wait. I hear it in your voice, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I hear it in your voice. Do you need to get up and do some side strata helps or something? Because you're not going to sleep tonight, Joe. I
well,
hear it
relaxed.
In your voice. Yeah, I know. You always relax. Next thing you know, you be breathing hard.
Oh, well, you know. I go to sleep very easily.
Yeah, I know. I say I hear it in your voice. So you need to.
I'm very lucky that way. All I got to do is put my head down on the pillow, and then I'm off. I don't have, you know, I have no problem sleeping.
Oh, really? You don't have no problem sleeping?
Uh-uh.
All right, Joe. I'm gonna run. You know what? I got 100 of your show coming up. Don't make you part of the highlights.
Yeah, that's all right. Everybody's telling me I'm snoring, so you might as well put me out there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Fine. All right, so you know what? Let's go on and get into our topic. I'm sure everybody else will catch up when they get here. You know, let's go and get it while I got you. Now, yesterday we was talking about step-parents, and then we were given a scenario of molestation between siblings. You know, the siblings and a biological parent and a step-parent.
Right.
Okay. And it made me wonder about that. So I did a little research. Did you know approximately 30% of sexual abusers are family members, such as fathers, mothers, brothers, uncles, and cousins?
30% of sexual abusers?
30%.
Is that between blended families or is that in all families?
That's all families. That's all families.
All families.
That's all families. Yeah, I couldn't see anything where it said, you know, broke it down as to in blended families. So that's basically all families.
Well, and girls, I'd like to have it broken down because I would think that most of the abuses would be in blended families where the new brother or the new sister, they're not blood related, so they're not looking upon each other as being sisters or brothers. So one or the other would feel it's okay to try to date or have something to do with the other. Now, if most of the abuses are in families where there are blood ties, that would be interesting.
Okay, but would that really? Well, I guess I see what you're saying. But you know, when it comes down to it, if they're still in the same household, it really doesn't matter, does it?
Well, in terms of what the motivation is, yeah. Because I mean, let's say you've got 100 families. And 30% of them have cases of molestation, right? So those are 30 families. Out of those 30 families, if 27 of them are the blended families, then you say, well, if only 3% really are the families where there are blood ties, then people are obeying the taboos. But if you have like 15 families are blended, and the other 15 are blood ties, then you're saying, Jesus Christ, the brothers and the sisters or the cousins and the nieces, they're really getting it on. They're not obeying the taboos.
Hmm. Okay.
So you have to take a look at it at a different angle.
All right. When you put it that way, I understand that. I wonder, has anybody really broken it down that way?
I'm sure they probably have. The last taboo, something I read about years and years ago, was the incest between brother and sister and mother and son, father and daughter.
Mm.
So, I mean, 30% seems kind of high, but, you know, I guess it's not surprising.
Well, yeah. But no, it's really. I wouldn't think. I thought it would be a little bit higher, but that was just, you know, that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, girls, of course, we figured out girls are more likely to disclose sexual abuse than boys.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that,
well, women,
that's
they love to be professional victims. That's part of their their upbringing. You know, they, you know, they, you
not
can't
really.
Be a, you can't be a female unless you fuck.
Are
blame.
You really gonna go there tonight, Joe?
Well, if anybody wants to come on and dispute it, you know, that's okay. As long as they don't rant and rave like Lady does.
All right. So, okay. So how about the way society portrays a boy compared to a girl? Would that be a better way of saying it? You know, little girls are taught to be sensitive and show their feelings, and little boys are supposed to be tough, you know, and this is not supposed to happen.
Well, that's a problem in America, too. I mean, a little boy should be encouraged to show their feelings without having to be thought of as a sissy or a weakling. Because, mm-hmm. look, again, women have that option. They can go, yeah! And what do men do? We go, oh, you poor little thing. Let me take care of you. If a boy does it, let's say a teenager does it, how often does he get support? People are going to go, hey, shut the fuck up. Will you suck it up, right?
right.
Okay.
For the most part, yeah, you're right about that. Like, man,
but
what
women
you
have an advantage. And they take advantage of that advantage to become professional victims.
Mm.
I bet, you know, look at your own friends and family, okay, Eric? How
uh-huh.
many women you know feel free to just whine? How many guys do you know that whine the same way?
Man. Okay. Well, you know what? I know some guys that whine more than damn women, but I see your point. I see what you're saying, though. I do understand your point.
Mm.
However, you're making some sense in a societal way. Yes, you're right, Joe. You are right. But there are some tiny bald men out there that bitch.
Oh yeah, I mean there are exceptions, of course.
Right.
I'm just saying the vast majority of men. They're not allowed to express their feelings, otherwise they'd be considered pussies.
Right.
99% of most women, they can whine and complain, and women don't like it. They don't want to hear this shit all the time, but the men will come along and say, oh, you poor thing.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
So how much support do you think men don't get support from men, and they sure as hell don't get a hell of a lot of support from women. So that's a lot of pressure on men.
Mm-hmm.
That's
You're
part
right.
of the pressure that when Rich talks about Warren Farrell in his books about, I forgot the name of the book. I think I have the book, too. It's about male-female inequality, how men uh-huh. really don't have it as easy as people think, why men gastronomical diseases and why they feel a lot of angst and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of pressure being put upon us to be real men. But there's no pressure upon a woman to do anything but just be pretty. That's it.
Just be pretty.
And she's got a multi-billion dollar industry to help out with that.
Wow. Okay. All right.
So, I mean, mm-hmm. if you can refute what I've said or if anybody else can refute what I've said, bring it on.
I mean, I understand. I agree with you to a certain extent. I do. But, okay. We're going to move along, though.
Sure.
And here's the one I wanted to talk about. 23% of reported cases of child sexual abuse are perpetrated by individuals under the age of 18. Under the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, oh, Lord, Joe, you done did it now. I see the phone. Oh, my goodness, Joe. Okay, let me stop. All right, let me bring this other call in here and see what we got going on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, happy Friday to you. You're on Let's Talk with Mr. Talk. Can I have your name and where you're calling from, please, and what's on your mind?
Hi. I've been listening for a few minutes. And I've heard what Joe said, and I'm really trying to understand where he gets this idea that that's all a woman needs to do is look pretty. I don't get that. So we aren't supposed to have our own mind, our own thoughts, our own opinions. We're not supposed to be able to do anything but for ourselves but to look pretty. I don't know. I'm trying to hope that I didn't miss something.
All right, I'll explain it.
Okay.
All the only pressure a female has to is on a female is just to look pretty. Because by looking pretty, she can find a guy very easily. There's no pressure on a woman to become a CEO in order to attract a mate. A man has to work hard in order to attract a so-called worthwhile mate. If a man was nothing more than just the same status as a female, if all he wanted to do was just marry a girl and take care of the household, how many women want that kind of men? Nobody. But if a woman just wants to take care of the household, there's no pressure on her to go out there and have to work to make $100,000. If you want to, nobody's stopping you. But all you've got to do in this society is just look pretty. You do not have to fight for
How does that equate to a single?
Huh?
A single woman, a single mother.
Yeah.
How does that equate? How is...
If a single mother is
to do
a pretty...
Whatever she has to do to
all she
take
gotta
care
do
of
be
herself
pretty.
In her house?
All she has to do is be pretty, and she can find a guy amongst... If she dates 10, 15 guys, she'll find somebody who wants to take care of her.
I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit more modern than that. I don't want a guy that's all he wants me for is to look pretty.
I want him to be able to value
me as a person,
well,
value my thoughts, value my opinions, value, you know, if all he wants me to do is to look pretty, then I...
Point was all a girl has to do, because if you're a pretty girl, take a look at the chicks that... Or with Hugh Hefner or with the other millionaire, like, say, the older guys.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be intelligent. They don't have to have a history of being successful in business. They don't have to have a master's degree. All they have to do is be pretty. All you've got to do, personally, you yourself, is be pretty, and you will get more guys wanting to be with you than if you were ugly and had a master's degree.
I can see that, but just like I say, for me, that's not what I want. I don't want a man in my life that's all he wants me to do is to look pretty.
I'm not saying that's all a man wants. I'm just saying a girl, all she has to be in comparison with what a man has to be. I don't want a girl to take a look at me and say, well, Joe's rich or Joe's very good looking, and that's all she focuses on. But if I was rich... I wouldn't have to be anything else. If I was a multimillionaire, I wouldn't have to be interesting. I wouldn't have to be good looking. All I'd have to do is spend money. You think those guys in the NBA and the NFL, you think they're prize catches? They're just millionaires.
So
I see there's something. I don't know. I guess I'm just a little different. I don't want that.
That's not what I'm talking about. I know what you want. I would
understand that a guy would.
You don't understand what I'm saying.
I want a guy to be able to. We take care of each other. Not that he has to take care of me.
What you want is, and what I'm saying, all a girl has to do to be successful in this society are two different things. You want a guy to treasure you or value you for more than just being good-looking, right?
Yes.
Right. But if you were the stupidest chick on the planet, but extremely good-looking, you would be more successful at attracting men who want to take care of you than if you were...
Okay, I understand.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
What you want is the same thing everybody wants. We all want to be valued for more than just one single... part of our personality or part of our makeup. We want to be valued for the whole package. What I'm saying is if a girl, if she's ugly, it's going to be rougher for her. But if a girl is very good looking, she doesn't have to worry about being intelligent or being sensitive. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. All right. Now that you man, we didn't get your name. I'm sorry. Can I have your name, please?
It's Mary.
Mary, did I successfully answer your question?
Yeah, they answered my question.
Well, don't go anywhere. We're going to have more people come on the show, and you'll have a chance to interact with them as well.
Yeah. You know, they're working their way through. They're working their way through the great problems, the great thing called BTR. That's for dang on sure.
BTR sucks.
Yeah. Almost like step-parents. No, I'm joking.
Oh, yeah.
You know I can't say that too loud. Boy, I've been and got jumped on. Anyway. Anyway, you know, also yesterday, Joe, you said something that I really, really wanted you to expound on. But I wanted the rest of the crew to be here first. But I guess me and you talk about it. Because
okay.
You kept saying if the kid is a bad seed.
Right.
You know, so what constitutes a bad seed?
Well, a bad seed is a kid that no matter how much you love, you give this kid, the kid's psycho.
Psycho?
Psycho. I mean, like the kid, there are psychos. There are kids who kill their parents, who kill other kids just because they feel like it, and they feel no remorse. Now, it could have been either as a result of the parents being very bad parents in the environment. They've gotten they were either spoiled tremendously or they were beaten tremendously. I mean, two extremes. Or their DNA was so fucked up that they had no morality whatsoever.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so, I mean, we're going to go back a little bit to yesterday already and what you were saying.
Okay.
So, because you say you're not marrying, you're not in the marrying type.
I'm not married.
Word, no. You're not marrying.
No.
All right, so, now, you in a relationship with this woman. Of course, y'all have your own places. And
right.
This kid is just, I guess, just the ultimate bad. But you, in your words, you love this woman.
Right.
What are you going to do?
Well, like I said yesterday, if this kid is a bad kid because the woman that I fell in love with didn't know how to be a good mother, then what was revealed to me was a new aspect about her character and her personality.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not going to be as much in love with her as I was before, because now I see a very serious flaw. She didn't know how to raise her own child properly. Okay? So I'm not going to be in love with her, or I might just fall out of love with her altogether. Who knows? But because she is a bad mother and the kid is a bad kid, they cannot come around my child. So remember, we were talking about marriage. I'm not going to marry. I wasn't going to marry her anyway.
Right.
And if I still continue to want to see her, then I'll do so without my child in tow. My child will never get to see the kid again.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the kid is, you know, if depending upon the molestation. Now, remember, there are different gradations of molestation. I mean, the kid could have touched the girl on her chest. The girl could have freaked out. To me, that's not molestation, all right? But it was pointed out, now that I remember, this kid was really invading this girl's private parts. So this kid should be locked up for a little while so that he can get some kind of counseling. I don't believe in taking a kid who's 13 and putting them in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I think the kid should be given counseling, extensive counseling. You know, I don't know if that counseling would work, but the kid is not going to be near my daughter. And my daughter, the thrust of the question yesterday was, how do you answer the kid's question about, Daddy, are you going to continue to see whatever her name is? And I'll have to teach my daughter that it wasn't her fault. Or if it was, that's going to make me think twice about, you know, about really seeing her anymore.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Let's say it wasn't her fault. Let's say it was a bad seed. I'm going to teach my kid, sweetie, you're going to have to grow. When you get older, you will come across people who have relatives and friends who do things that are bad. But the other people are not responsible for what they do. And I might tell her, you know, Aunt Jane and your cousin. Well, if your cousin does something bad, that doesn't mean Aunt Jane is bad. You still want to see Aunt Jane, don't you? And she'll say yes. And I'll say, well, I still want to see Roberta. Well, I still want to see Roberta because Roberta's a good person. Roberta cares for you. You like Roberta, right? Well, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But you will never see the kid again. I guarantee it. And after a while, I'm hoping it'll make an impression on her. Because I can understand why she doesn't want me to see, you know, Roberta.
Mm-hmm. But dang. Okay. But you don't think that would confuse the child?
Well, after a while, the child will have to, I'll have to clear things up with her because I'll have to let her know. And I gave her the example. Like, look, your cousin Johnny is an asshole. Mm-hmm. But his mother, Aunt Sue. You like Aunt Sue, don't you? Yeah, I do, Daddy. Well, Aunt Sue's a good person. But if just because Johnny's a bad person, do you not want to see Aunt Sue? No, I want to see Aunt Sue. I just don't want to see Cousin Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
Same situation with me and Roberta and her kid. You'll never see the kid again, but I will continue to see Roberta, but you will always be safe with Daddy. You'll never have this problem again. She'll be confused at the beginning, but after a while, you know, she's going to have to get used to the idea. This is reality.
Okay. All right. Okay.
What does Mary think about that? Does Mary, maybe you want to bring Mary up to speed on that?
Okay, let me see. Hello, Mary?
Mary,
yes. You there? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Mr. Joseph, how you feel about that?
Kind of, sort of half listening.
No, okay.
You want me to give you a little rundown of what happened?
Yeah, give me a little synopsis of what you were saying.
Okay. Here's the situation, because Eric got an email from somebody who wanted to find an answer to this particular question. There's a guy and his daughter.
Wait,
situation I know about.
Yeah.
I heard that situation yesterday.
Oh, okay.
The part of you steady saying the child was a bad seed, I kind of like was on Eric's side in that, you know, nobody was talking about counseling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, need to have counseling. I'm not saying that mom may not have played a part in whatever
mm-hmm.
had to go on with the child, but I'm thinking that something else went on too. Either the child saw something, the child may have been being bullied himself, the child may have got molested itself. You know, I'm just thinking there's something else going on besides maybe what mom may have done or may not have done. Meaning that there's something else going on and that he found a weaker person to take it out on, and that's what he did. He acted out his
mm-hmm.
maybe his frustrations or whatever on a weaker person, on a weaker child. Unfortunately, this weaker child was his mom's boyfriend's biological child.
Right.
So,
but here's the question at hand. The question is, the child who was molested, she doesn't want her father to see the mother, well, of course, naturally not the kid either, because the child was molested, doesn't trust them, and doesn't see how the father might want to continue the relationship with the mother. So how would you handle a child who's that confused or who doesn't want you to see somebody?
Well, as far as for me, I've had that situation happen before, and that a single mother with a boyfriend, child does not like boyfriend, so I'm stuck in the middle between child and boyfriend. The way I had to do was I had to sit down and talk to the both of them, talk to each one individually, and then talk to both of them together and try to come out to find out to see what was wrong, what was the problem, what was the issue, why is it that, you know, there's, like, I could tell my child was, you know, she was doing things on purpose to make me distrust the boyfriend.
Oh, that's a situation I brought up, Eric, a week ago.
She would do things on purpose. She was doing it on purpose and stuff.
Right. uh-huh.
on purpose to make me dislike the boyfriend because mm-hmm. she wanted to break up the situation. She wanted it, you know, she didn't want him in our life because I guess she felt that he would take attention away from her. He would take it away because I would have to give him attention as well as give her attention. And she just felt like all my attention should be directed to her, not to him. So it was a little tricky.
Well, that's one situation.
Yeah.
But this one is that the girl was molested.
Now, yeah.
you're the
See,
mother
as far
of the
as
girl.
That,
yeah.
I'm the mother.
Right.
If I'm the mother of the child that was molested,
and you want
to
continue
I'm
to see the boyfriend.
Tell, I'm going to have to tell her that, you know, that's something you and your dad are going to have to discuss. Your dad is going to have to sit down and talk with you and you
no,
and
no,
him
no,
are
you're a single mother.
To...
Let me try to recap.
Okay.
You're a single mother. The father is not in the picture. Either he's dead or he's out of state or he's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
You have a child who's, she 8 years old, Derek?
Yes,
yeah.
8 years old.
Okay, she's 8 years old. She got molested by your boyfriend's
biological
son,
mm-hmm.
okay, who is 13. We know he did it. We know he did something bad. We know that the kid is going to get counseling. The kid is not going to come around the daughter anymore, your daughter. Your daughter is asking you, Mom, how can you continue to see your boyfriend when his son molested me? How are you going to answer that?
To be honest, I'm going to side with my child.
Okay.
And I'm probably am going to end the relationship.
Okay.
Because I've decided with my child.
Okay.
A boyfriend comes and goes. Man comes and goes in a woman's life. They can come and go. Your child is your child for life.
All right.
That's yours for life.
So this man you fell in love with, you know he's a good man. You know that
I know anything, but I...
And you were about to marry him, so now you're going to turn... discontinue the marriage.
I have to go with.
Okay.
I have to go with my child.
That sounds like very nice and quick.
That's my blood. That's me. That's my child.
Right.
I gotta.
So even
go
though
with
the
my
father
child.
Wasn't responsible, and you'll never have any opportunity for that boy to ever touch your daughter again.
Yeah.
You're going to. So in other words, you're blaming the father.
I'm not necessarily blaming him,
mm-hmm.
but. I mean, you know how later on in life, how it's going to go, you know, you don't know what that child's going to go through because I'm really familiar with the situation yesterday because it's happening to a coworker of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And we did find out today that whereas the biological father was all apologetic and sorry and everything else,
right.
Now he has turned totally different to where he's making it seem like his own biological child made up this story or that she's not, you know, being truthful
okay.
and everything else mm-hmm. and all. And so right now it's causing a lot of problems with the mom is hurt.
Right.
First off, because she feels like the girlfriend is telling him, you know, all kind of things or whatever because with them being in two different states, not close to each other, you know, to talk, for him to see the child and be around the child and everything. It's like, you know, he's feeling like the biological mother is telling his daughter all kind of things, and in turn, the girlfriend is telling him all kind of things. So, you know, now he's because the police had told the biological mother, had asked her, did the biological father take out a restraining order to keep the child away until the investigation was, you
right.
know, done yeah. and finished. And he said no, he didn't feel that needed to be done.
Mm.
He felt that, you know, just wait until the investigation is over but this is what the police is telling that needs to be done. This is not something that she, the biological mother, is saying needs to be done. The police is saying this. They're saying this is what needs to be done just until the investigation is over. He's making, so he turned it around to make it seem as though now he's not trusting what his own child is saying.
Mm-hmm.
That he's distrusting it. And so the mom is hurt, you know, and it's seeming like that, yes, he's going to stay with the girlfriend and the son. And so that's why my question was, what does he do? He's caught in the middle. Between the
seems like, well, it seems like me, he's made his choice. He's no longer in the middle.
Yes.
He's gone on the side of his girlfriend.
Yes.
So basically
so that's what I'm saying. So in the you know, what does he tell his daughter? You know what I mean?
Mm.
What does he say to her? You know, when she's like, well, Dad didn't want to come and see you, but you still have that kid there that hurt me and stuff. So what do you say? You know, what does he say to her? What is he, you know?
So she's blaming the dad for visiting the girlfriend who still has the boy inside the girlfriend's house?
They are living together. They live together with, yes. They live together, which is a crazy in itself.
That's the problem.
They live together, the girlfriend, biological dad, her four kids, and they are staying with the biological dad's brother and his wife.
Oh, Lord.
So there's like six adults in the house. There's all these people in the house, and nobody saw anything. Nobody heard anything. So, you know what I'm saying? So that's.
So was it possible she's lying?
No. They took her to the doctor as soon as she got back, and she told her mom, took her to the doctor, and yes, there's evidence of stuff happening. So he didn't rip or tear anything, but there's still the bruising or whatever that's evident to show.
Now,
since we
are back on the case from yesterday, you know, and I had to go back and think about it and re-listen to the show, and something really popped out to me about this thing. And Joe, I'm glad you're there. But
yeah.
Vernon was here for a hot minute, but I don't know where he went. Maybe he'll come back.
Okay.
But apparently, this kid used two fingers.
Right.
Right? The triangle in the vagina and the butt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, at the age of 13, he in this house, where would he even get that notion from? You understand what I'm saying? So
yeah.
it's something.
What
in other words, something is not going right in that house from the beginning.
I had a talk with the girl's mother, because I say I work with her. I had a talk with her today, and I asked her. You know, I said, you know, you gotta know something is going on with him, or something's happened to him. There is that possibility that something happened to him. Either he saw something or something happened to him. For him to even have that notion of doing something like that to someone else. You know, either you done seen something or you done had something happen. That's why I figured something either happened to him or he saw something.
Yeah, I
and
think it's more than
feels like, yeah, that. He didn't have control over that situation. So when he got a situation that he can control, he acted it out on someone that he could control.
Well, let me read this real quick, a survey that was done. Child-on-child sexual abuse occurs when another child or children abuse a sexually. Then the child perpetrator has been sexually victimized by an adult previously. Inter-sibling abuse occurs when one sibling molests his or her own sibling. So, with that being said, could we say that there's the possibility that this child was molested also?
Absolutely.
Or something happened to that child. Something
right.
happened to that child. Something.
Okay.
Well,
something
the kid, yeah. the kid has had aggressive feelings towards an 8-year-old. That's not normal. I mean, this is absolutely not normal behavior. Something psychological, pathological has happened to the kid. Either the kid has been given a very permissive lifestyle so that he can do whatever he wants without any kind of repercussions, or he's been beaten a lot, or he's been molested, or any combination of all three. Because for a 13-year-old to be this aggressive and to do it against somebody who is so vulnerable, an 8-year-old, and to do it in porno style, something's going on in that household which he's learning something from, and it's not good.
Yes. I really feel like, because there's too many adults in the house.
For nobody to hear anything.
Yeah. Come on, too many of them. You know, and with him, see, oh, Lord have mercy. You know, that really makes you weary about being a step-parent or getting involved with anybody like that.
Involved with somebody.
Like yeah. Because, you know, things like that, as we see, are happening. So, you know, step-parents, they already get the bad rap as it is. And then kids play tricks on step-parents with the biologicals. Yeah. So now this is a whole different animal altogether. And how do you deal with this, really?
You don't marry.
You know, there you go. Now, see, and here's another thing. See, we just got another piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's beginning to take the side of the girlfriend and the little boy. So, and he's staying with his brother. Is that correct?
Yes, his brother and his wife. The brother and the brother's wife.
Okay. So, now, what I'm looking at is he is in a very difficult spot right now. He really is. And I'm going to tell you why. Honestly, he has nowhere to go.
Yeah. Right now, everyone is thinking that he is still in denial that it happened.
Denial?
So he's trying to find some way to really believe it. I don't think he really believes that it happened. I don't think he really will believe until he gets the police report and the
But that indicates something to me, too. Because ordinarily, if any father, any mother who hears that their child has been molested or something happened to them, the first thing they do is, my child's in the right. This father is saying, it's possible my child is lying. So this kid, so either this father is all messed up, or the kid has, even at 8 years old, because that means that the kid's in the third grade. Now, I don't know about you.
We talked about that. We did. I talked to the mom, and we talked about that. And I've been around this little girl myself. I've been around her. No, she's a typical little girl. I understand that she could fabricate something or whatever. But just like I said, they took her to the doctor. That is the first thing the mother did, took her to the doctor. So this is not coming from something that they say was fabricated or whatever else. It actually happened. It happened.
Why would he be...
The pictures, the proof, and everything to prove that it...
Then why doesn't he believe her?
I don't know. That's what we're saying. We don't know what the girlfriend is telling him because they're in two different states. We don't know what the girlfriend is saying.
I thought they were all living together.
No. Not the biological mom and the daughter stay here. Well, I stay in Texas.
Oh, okay. So they're not all living together.
He lives in California with a girlfriend with his brother and sister-in-law. That's who he stays with.
Uh-huh.
So there's four adults in the house.
In the house with the four kids.
Four kids, four adults, and the girlfriend's in another state.
No, the girlfriend is the girlfriend, her four kids, and the biological dad, and his brother, the biological dad's brother, and the biological dad's brother's wife all stay in one house together.
Then who's in another state?
The biological mother and the daughter.
Oh, okay.
They say, the daughter had to go visit him. She went to go visit him.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this is really giving me a headache now.
Yeah, because I thought the girlfriend was in another state. I'm going, now they're living together.
They all stay together.
Okay, now the biological mother and the daughter, her daughter, who is also the daughter of the father, but
yes,
the father's living with his girlfriend.
And her four kids.
And her four kids. And
one of them is a little boy.
And, but who's the other? But the brother is it his
the
brother or her brother?
The biological dad's brother. The biological dad's brother.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, I'm getting the logistics of it.
Yeah, it's not looking good. It's really not. It really isn't looking good at all.
I mean, I don't know how anybody else would feel, but the biological mom says that yes, the dad has called and he's apologized and he's been remorseful, but he's like the girlfriend hasn't called and said anything. She hasn't called to check on the child, asked anything about what's going on with the child or nothing.
Well, you know, in a lot of instances like that, it's actually, I can understand where she's coming from, because it's hard to believe that your child is actually capable of doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So in her case, it may be denial.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to take a side, but if you really look at it, yes.
You know what it sounds like to me? That since he's not taking the side of his biological daughter that easily, sounds to me like he and the mother had a quickie and had. And out came the daughter, and maybe he thought, maybe he doesn't know if the daughter is his, or he didn't want the baby to be born, and they had a bad either marriage or a bad romance.
They had a bad breakup.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he doubts that the daughter is his.
Oh no, he knows for sure she's his. He know that, but they just had a very bad breakup.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a bad breakup. And
isn't
so they've
life,
been
isn't
back
life great
and forth.
In America?
If that's what you want to call it.
Yeah. You see, when you don't marry, you don't have these problems.
Well, why? The way you're putting it, you're still going to have the problem, though.
How?
Because you said, you're going to put it out there that if you love her, just the rules are see her without the kid.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have a kid. See, I don't have a kid.
I thought we had used the scenario that you had. We did, just in case.
I mean, I have to have a biological daughter in order for, the situation to be somewhat realistic. There's only one woman that I know of that could have a child by me, and I don't know about it because I don't know what happened 9 months subsequent to that, to the act. Every other chick that I've done, I know where they were 9 months later, so I know I don't have any kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of situation to me, I'm thinking like yesterday when we were talking about it, it was a lot of hypothetical thinking.
Right.
But if let's say I did come across somebody that I really, really loved and I had a child, okay, because for whatever reason I had a child. But if I loved her for the right reasons and the kid is a bad seed, I would explain to my child that what happened was not a result of her fault whatsoever. But if I did conclude that, she blinded me with whatever charm she had, and I concluded she was a bad mother, neither the mother nor the kid, especially the kid, would be around me or my daughter.
Wow.
But if she's a good mother, I'm not going to throw her away because of a bad DNA. And I'd have to train my kid to understand reality because she's going to have to grow up and eventually come across other situations like this as well. She's going to have to, she's going to meet other family members, other friends that are going to do bullshit, and she's going to have to say, well, you know what? Just because Johnny did bullshit doesn't mean that his brother is an asshole or his mother's a jerk off.
I don't know. I don't know, Joe. That's like, I don't know, I guess you say that's like a cop-out in kind of sort of a way. I think so. Because how can you do that? And you know, this I'm back to the same thing yesterday. I'm throwing them under the bus. This ain't happening.
All right, I say okay. You've got kids. Let's involve you, not me. You've got kids. You fell in love with somebody. Now you know the mother is a good mother, but your kid is molested by this woman's son. Now put yourself in that situation, because you've got kids, you've been married, you've had other girlfriends. So if you met this woman that you want to marry because you love her, and you absolutely know she's a good person, maybe the best person you ever met, but because of her kid, and you know she's a good mother too, you know that the kid's a bad seed. Maybe he's psychologically diagnosed as being a bad seed. Are you going to throw away this woman, even though she's the best woman you ever met, because of that bad seed?
Yes,
okay.
I would.
All right.
And I'm going to tell you why. Because, see, with the way it's going right now, and it's true from what Mary is saying, number one, the daughter's going to end up being betrayed by the daddy. It's, you know, especially at 8 years old. Okay, as she gets older, she may understand. Then she may even hold the grudge, may even get even worse when she has to relive it and think about it all over again. So, but with me, yeah, because I will always take my child's side. And like I said yesterday, regardless whether my child forgot or not, it would always be in the back of my mind that her child did something to my child.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's true.
I could not know. To be honest with you, knowing me, no, I couldn't do it. No, so yes. That would be a love that I just would have to give up.
Okay. I would find it extremely hard for me.
Now, well, I didn't say it would be easy, but I know it would. I would. That's what I would do.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you have to get, you know, you have to do some things that's painful for your children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that would be, in my book, that would be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That really would. Of course, you know, that's just one of my theories, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Mary, what you think about that?
I've already been in that type of situation to where I had to choose, because it's you got to choose, and I had to choose. Unfortunately, my child always turned out to be bad, but, you know, I still would always choose my child.
Even though she told you lies?
Even if he told me lies.
Okay.
I'm still gonna choose my child.
Right.
I have to go with my child, good or bad, whatever. I have to go with my child.
Now see, now let's rewind, and now we're getting into the child and the step parent thing,
mm-hmm.
or your boyfriend. So if you know your child is lying, trying to break y'all up, why would you still go with your child? Now, would you think now there needs to be a boundary set between you and your child?
Yes, because to me, that's something that should be set in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
In the beginning. A lot of, I don't know, from the experiences I've had, when you don't include a child in your relationship is what's going on, and then all of a sudden, boom, you just tell the child, hey, this person going to stay with us, and that's it. To me, that's not right. You should include that child in what's going on in the relationship. Let that child be involved so that child can come to know this person as well as you know that person and stuff, especially before you make that step of staying together or getting married or whatever. You should involve that child so that child knows.
But that child is involved by the fact that she's telling lies. She's involved herself.
Yeah.
So if your child is lying, and you know your child is lying, and you know that your boyfriend's a good boyfriend, he's not responsible for the stuff that your child made up lies about, you're going to break up with the good man even though your child's lying.
I've made worse mistakes. Believe me, I have.
So,
I've made worse mistakes.
I'm like Eric. I don't understand that.
I've made worse mistakes.
Yeah, that's like a reversal there.
I mean, wouldn't you want to teach your child not to lie?
Yes, and yes, I've had to sit down and have those discussions And, you know, so that my child understands that, okay, you came in between this relationship that I, you know, that I thought was going to be there. But then I also look at it, though, if it's meant to be and if that guy truly wants to be in my life, then he's not going to go anywhere.
Well, how,
he's going to stay there and fight.
How's he not going to go anywhere when you're getting rid of him?
Yeah, that's fine. And you just said we may be apart.
We may separate or whatever, but he's not going to, you know what I mean? He's still
going
to call. He's still going to come by.
Okay, all right. Why would he put himself in that position when he knows that you both know that the child is lying, right? But mm-hmm. yet you continue to believe the child. So why would any man want to put himself in that position? To know he's fighting a battle regardless of what he does. He may be the greatest man, but you still are taking your child's side, even though you know your child is lying. So
then it would become that part of how much does either one of them want the relationship.
See, this is that male role again, where the man has to fight uphill to win the fair lady's heart, which is something I wouldn't do. Because if I know the child's lying, you know the child's lying, we both know the child's lying, and you tell me to get lost, I'm going to say to myself, after a while, you got to be kidding me. And I would stay lost. Because you've shown me a flaw. You've shown me that we know the kid's lying. We know the kid's going to be trouble in the future. But we know even though she's lying, you're going to take up her side and you're going to make life miserable for me. And you expect me to fight uphill to try to prove to you that I can take this? Not me. Not me.
Miss Mary, I mean, does that mean that you understand what we're saying?
I understand.
I'm not crying.
But would you do it? Suppose my kid's lying. And you know that my kid's lying because my kid wants to break us up. Are you going to say, well, okay, I'm going to
I don't fight for men. I don't fight. That's always been my motto. I don't fight for men. I don't fight. Because I feel that if he loves me, wants to be with me, then
he's got
to
fight
for whatever he has to do that. But I'm not going
to
fight.
So you
want to
push
That's
him
fine.
Away.
If you choose your child, then you choose your child. I'm
okay.
gone. That's All it. Right. I'm gone.
Now you know why I'm married, unmarried, Eric.
Yeah, we kind of did hit that kind of double standard fence there for a moment, didn't we?
Mm.
Now, yeah.
I mean, that's me. I can't speak for any other woman.
Yeah.
That's me.
Wait a minute. Well,
that's me.
You know how common your mentality is. You're not the only one that has that.
I'm not going to stay and fight. You choose your child, you choose your child, I'm gone.
You're not unusual in this.
Well, wait a minute. You just said you choose your child. If you choose your child, I'm gone.
Yeah, if you're saying if it's reversed.
But how can you say that when you just said you choose your child?
I'm just saying if I choose my child and I kick the guy to the curb and he leaves. I would do the same thing. If the guy has a child and I know the child's lying, we both know the child's lying, and he kicks me to the curb, I'm gone.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to stand
fight.
Because
I'm not. Why? If he's made it that clear that he chooses his child, he goes with what his child says, then I'm gone. I'm not going to fight.
But how is he going to fight for you if you consistently are telling him to get lost?
Right.
You write what?
Right.
How?
Right. How is he? That's right. He can't. Because, yeah, I'm steady telling him that. So.
Right. But you...
Now you understand, Mary, I'm talking about the burden of a man versus the burden of a woman. You don't...
I understand.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you understand, Eric? Because I think it's getting clearer to you, because a lot of men don't understand the burdens we take upon ourselves because we accept it, and we think it's normal and natural for us to fight in wars, to fight uphill for a woman's love, to understand when a woman changes her mind, and to do all that kind of stuff, and then we wonder how come we die earlier than women.
Hmm. Okay. So, all right. So, basically, what you're saying is, and since you know your child is lying about this one situation, no matter what relationship you're going to get into, you're going to believe your child over anything else, even though you know there's a history there of lying, just to break you and anybody else up. Now, as long as it's just you and the child, everything is peachy keen and fine. But if you try and bring, in this case, another man in, and the child is, you know, doesn't like them and goes to, I guess I'm going to use Joe's term, bad seed mode, then you're going to choose your child, and the man has to decide whether he want to stay and deal with it or take the bus and roll out.
Well, let me make it, yeah, after you finish that question, I got one for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now here's my question. Suppose Denzel Washington was interested in you. You feel the same way?
I don't like Denzel.
All right. Who do you like in Hollywood?
Really none of them.
Okay.
And nobody in Hollywood that exciting to me.
Oh, okay.
No basketball players, no football players, no... None of them are.
But let's say the guy was a millionaire and you knew that your daughter's lying and he could provide for you all that you would want. You're still going to say...
I'm not materialistic like that.
Well, it may not be, but I mean, that's why I'm bringing up a hypothetical. Suppose the guy was a millionaire and could provide for you the white picket fence and you know your daughter's lying.
Still, I know my child is lying and...
Yeah.
I
got to think about that one, don't you, man?
I still have to go with my child.
Okay.
I got to go, and that's my love for my child.
Okay,
I
no problem.
My child.
Okay.
But isn't that like condoning lying, your child lying? Wouldn't that be condoning?
It would seem that way, yeah. That's not to say what me and that child are going to go through with nobody's around, and it's just me and that child. Oh, believe me, the child's going to hear it. The child's going to get it.
But
the child's going to know that, you know, what they did was wrong and how I feel.
But it's not going to make an impact on her.
But I'm going to have to go with my child.
Yeah, but see, it's not going to make an impact on it because you can punish her, you can do all kinds of things to her and say how wrong it is and say, but then if you say,
but then she's
going to
know that she got
you.
Her way because...
Yeah, but then the next guy comes along. She doesn't like him. She lies about him. You know she's lying about him, but you're going to kick this second guy, the third guy, the fourth guy out of the house. So she's not going to stop lying.
Yeah, exactly. So everything is fine until you bring a man into the house, and then all of a sudden, once again, you know, bam, boom, boom, you have to make a decision. My question is, how long will you be willing to go through that before you say, wait a minute, you know, this is not working? Or no matter what, until your child is old enough to get out the house. Hello?
It may take that.
Oh, okay.
It just depends. I don't know. I've had to go through the situation, but never to that extent, that long of a time period to where I had to wait till the child got out of the house.
Well, that's because she's not out of the house yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, they're out of the house, both of them. Grown
they
and
are?
Gone. Yes, grown and gone.
Wait a minute. So what? Okay, so now they're out of the house. That means they're 18 or older, right?
Older. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if they say to you, if you have a new boyfriend, they meet him, and they say he did something which he didn't do, and you realize that these older women are lying to you, you're still going to take up with them and kick the man out?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Already been through that situation. So, no, I didn't.
Oh.
After they were older, no, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I didn't.
But
right.
From the time they were 13 until the time they're 18, for those 5 years, you gave them the power to choose your boyfriend.
Well, seemed like I had a lot of boyfriends during that time frame. I'm both amazing.
But if you did,
mostly stayed to myself, you know.
Yeah, but if you did, then you still gave them the power.
Basically.
Yeah.
All righty then.
The good thing the other guys aren't here. especially Mr. Solution.
Yeah, that would be interesting. That's for sure.
Shasta should be here too. I mean, Shasta would find this interesting.
Well, then again, Shasta may actually agree with her.
Well,
you know?
She might, but she would in part. But I don't think she would agree with Mary totally.
Yeah, you don't think so?
Not totally, no.
Okay.
I think that she would agree with Mary to get rid of the boyfriend if the boyfriend's son was a bad seed or even not a bad seed. But I don't think she would agree with Mary if just kicking the guy out of the house if she knew that the child was lying.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's just interesting. You know, I guess I had never heard a woman actually say they would let their child basically dictate their lives like that. That is interesting.
Yeah, but what do you think? But see, Mary's not alone. There are a lot. How about when men and women both say, well, I'm going to stand by my man and stand by my woman no matter what. And I've said in the past, I said, I want a woman to stand by me, but I don't want to stand by me when I'm wrong. And I'm not going to stand by my woman if she's wrong. But this, you know, you can't have this thing where I'm going to stand by people even though they're wrong, because when they make wrong decisions, it affects your life in a negative way. And when you stand by people who are wrong, they're going to continue to be wrong, thinking you're going to stand by them. But it's up to them to change. It's not up to us to stand by people who are wrong.
You know, that's a shame. And that's part of the problem that makes it hard on being a step-parent.
Well, it's not just being a step-parent. I'm talking about husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends. Millions of people do this.
Right.
I'm the only one that I know of that doesn't.
You're the only one that doesn't? No,
I'm the only
I'm
one
sure.
that I know that doesn't. I've said, no, if you're wrong, I can give you support. But if we know that you're wrong, you got to get your punishment. You've got to change. You can't expect me to always stand by your side. If you're being a bullshit artist, or if you're being a thief, or if you're causing trouble just to cause trouble, that can't happen.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I'm a good friend up to a point. I mean, you've got to be a good friend, too. You can't put me in the fucking middle.
Yeah. You know what, though? And that's the thing about being a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're a true friend and that person is your true friend, they will want you to tell them the truth. You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it may hurt your feelings, but you rather, you know, they be up front with you than... And in case bullshit you, and the next thing you know, everything is dropping around you, and you don't have a friend in the world.
Yeah.
Because nobody actually told you the truth in the beginning.
That's right.
Yeah. But, you know, when it comes to, I'm just moving it back to step-parents right now. When it comes to step-parents and couples like that, you know, that's like we always say, Joe. It's like we always say, that is a discussion that needs to be had in the beginning. Now, I really wanted to ask Miss Mary about... the discipline side of the house.
Oh, good question. Yeah,
you know. So
yeah, but okay. Yeah.
If she listening, hopefully she'll call back in. But yeah, because I'm curious about it. If it's that way with just the relationship part of it, I'm kind of curious as to when it comes to discipline, how would that work?
It wouldn't work too well because let's say the girl allows the boyfriend to stay with her. Now, the boyfriend is given privileges of disciplining the child. So the boyfriend disciplines the child. The child doesn't like it. Now, she lies to the mother.
Mm.
The mother knows she's lying.
Mm-hmm.
But she's going to get rid of the boyfriend anyway.
Oh, you know what, Joe? I got a question. I'm going to ask you this question.
Okay.
Now, in a lot of cases, see, like you're not married. You're not marrying them regardless. But yeah, you're not going to cohabitate. But if they're cohabitating, but they're not married, you know, but they're cohabitating and have been cohabitating for some years, how does discipline work that way?
It's a good question. I remember I had that situation. There was this girl who had, her son was like 18 and 19. And the kid, I never even met the kid. But we had a conversation about what would happen if she and I got tighter.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, I hope you realize that the kid, even though 18 or so, has to treat me as your boyfriend, has to treat me as an adult, not a replacement or a stepdad. But if the kid gets out of line, I'm going to have to discipline the kid if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And she went along with it. You know.
Oh,
the
okay.
thing is, you as a man, a woman as a woman, all of us deserve to be treated properly.
Right, right.
If we're not treated properly, let's say by the stepchild, then we have a right to expect the stepmother or the stepdaughter or the stepfather to take, or the biological father, to take care of the problem. If they don't take care of the problem, and if the stepchild is really aggravating to the point where they touch you, push you, stuff like that, I just slap the fucking shit out of the kid. And then I'd have to deal with the biological father, the biological mother, but I have to let them know, your kid is being a pain in the ass. Now, if I love this woman enough to let it get to that point, that's mm-hmm. one thing. But if I don't love her enough and I'm seeing that she's got these fucking kids or one kid that's coming into the middle, that's a reason for me to leave, because I don't need this harmony. I want harmony. I don't want potential. I want something already made. I want to get into a relationship where from step one, from day one, everything's good. I don't want to have to try to develop and develop. It's bullshit. I don't want to be a mentor to a fucking broad anymore. I don't want their baby mama, daddy mama fucking problems. I don't want any problems.
So you just want everything already nice and smooth?
I want everything
and easy.
Yeah. That's what I bring to the table. If you got me, you've got a man who loves you. You've got a man who's going to give you support. You've got a man who's not going to give you problems. I don't want fucking bullshit at all.
Mm. Well, let me ask you this question, Joe, then.
Mm-hmm.
Since you keep mentioning that word love and the way you feel about them, could you love someone so bad to where you just would not, no matter what you had to go through, you would just go through it just because you had that much love for that person?
Go through what?
Anything. Bad seed. The stepchildren lying on you.
Like I said, the bad seed is not a responsibility. I would go through that.
Uh-huh.
But I would stand by a woman who is a victim of certain circumstances, because that's not her fault. It's her problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I would stand by her. If she creates the circumstances, like a lot of these Hollywood celebrities, because they got big mouths, and
mm-hmm.
they create circumstances in which they receive a ton of criticism.
Mm-hmm.
That's their fault, their problem. If I give them advice like shut the fuck up, and they still continue to open up their mouths in public, and I'm getting the back end of it,
mm-hmm.
I'll just say goodbye. Because, you know, look, you're creating the situation which is giving you hardship. This hardship is spilling over to me. You could have stopped it. You didn't stop it. Goodbye.
Mm.
But if, let's say she's somebody who's just receiving criticism because there are a lot of assholes out there, and
uh-huh.
I'm receiving, the back end of it, a blowback as well, I'll stand by her because that's not her fault.
Okay.
That's what we're supposed to do as boyfriends and girlfriends. We're supposed to be there for people who deserve our particular companionship, as long as they don't do something irresponsible.
Right, right. So if there's a chance, like, okay, I guess this is the question that keep floating around my mind. I'm trying to figure out how to word it. I'm just going to put it out. If you cohabitating for a specific time, do you have the same status as, say, a step-parent? Would you be considered is that an upgrade from just a boyfriend living with someone?
Well, that depends. That's the arrangement you have to make with the girl.
Uh-huh.
She may not want you to be a step-parent. And, as you know, as long as the child isn't interfering in the relationship, then I'm going to allow her to continue on with her particular parenting. But I don't believe in living together either. Because living together, you got to take on the idiosyncrasies of your partner.
And do you feel like living together, I guess you just said it, but I'm asking anyway, plainer for everybody, it creates more of an issue than it solves?
Yeah. Because I see, if you don't live together, you have a good reason to stay by yourself 2 or 3 days out of the week, where people need, and they deserve a chance to recharge their batteries. I don't think people are made to stay together 5, 7 days out of the week, 24/7. I think they get on each other's nerves. So if you don't live together, you can say, well, I think I have to go and take care of my apartment or my house now, or I just like to get a breath of fresh air and recharge batteries, you know, because you both have the same arrangement. And you say, okay, fine. Both people can recharge their batteries, and then they can look forward to seeing each other the next day or the next 2 days. I think it kind of revitalizes the relationship as opposed to just making it boring.
Okay. Well, in the same token, then, shouldn't you if you come into the relationship with hobbies, shouldn't you keep those hobbies in? Because I agree with you. Every relationship needs some separation time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you are living together, married, whatever, you still need that time apart to appreciate each other. And you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So if y'all meet and you both have your different hobbies or what have you, why would you want to give those up? Because that is the time apart.
Right.
I know I'm just putting it out there because I
know
a lot
was
of people fight that.
Yeah, there was an issue where I remember, I don't know if it was on your show, but another show where a guy wanted to play with his friends Fridays and Saturdays. They were reserved for, for basketball. But the girl wanted to reserve Fridays and Saturdays for going out, which she had a right to expect, and he had a right to expect. That's something they would have to work out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't like living together. I think it gets on each other's nerves. I like separation time.
Okay, how about if we took and just made like a quiet room or getaway room inside the house for each person? If you have a house that big, would you really need the house that big? Just have a room to where you can go and just get away.
Well, the way my cousins arranged it, they had a house. It was a double decker.
Uh-huh.
And two levels. So, and during the day, when he left his job at Citibank, he was a VP, and he came home to run his own stupid little business. He took the upstairs during the day. She took the downstairs, and they got together for supper.
Okay,
that was the way they had it. Yeah.
Hmm.
But I don't believe in marriage, and I don't believe, it's not that I'm not against it. I just don't think it works, and I think if people can maintain their own premises and stay apart for 2 or 3 days out of the week, it makes the time that you're together, I think, that much more interesting.
And you don't believe they can do that actually, staying in the same household?
I think it's rough because you eventually will have to run into each other.
Well, hopefully.
Well, yeah, but I mean, people need the separation time, but you're not separated when you're married. I mean, you can have the upstairs, the downstairs, the private room and all that, but it's not the same as having your own. She's having her own. She's got her life. You've got your life. You're sharing each other's lives. This idea of marriage is something which has been put upon us. When you think about it, I think people actually would do better if they just stayed separate but shared their lives. They don't have that many problems when they're boyfriend, girlfriend, as opposed to when they get married. Now they got to share the expenses, share the time, share the ideology. You got to get permission to go here. Fuck that. Okay.
Wow. You're not only saying it's bad for the step-parent, you're saying it's bad just to be married, period.
Yeah, I say it's bad. psychologically to be married, especially in today's society. Now, years and years ago, it was great to be married because the woman wanted to be a wife. She wanted to take care of the household. She wanted to take care of the kids. She liked PTA. She liked the time in which she had to spend with her children. Nowadays, women want the master's degree, which is cool, but they want the career, and they don't even really want men anymore. You know, but they keep talking about, well, I'm strong and independent, and I'm as equal as you. Well, if you're as equal as me, why aren't you spending the same money on me as I'm on you? Why aren't you thinking about me the same way I'm thinking about you? Why aren't you accepting the same responsibilities on your shoulder that I accept on my shoulders? And if you're not willing to do that, you're not my equal. You're shorter than I am. You're weaker than I am. You're smaller than I am. You're more emotionally of a lesser caliber than I am. So somebody tell me, why the fuck I got to spend time with you? What do you bring to the table? If you don't bring true emotional support and true financial support to the table, what good are you?
Okay, all right. Of
if
course.
If your only thing you're bringing is good looks, who fucking cares?
So they eventually going to fade away anyway,
right?
Going to
fade away. And then, look, the only reason a woman is truly interesting is because of sex appeal. You take away sex appeal. You take that same personality of a good-looking woman, you put it in an ugly woman, you have no desire to be with that ugly woman. It's not because the good-looking chick has a sparkling personality. It's because she has sex appeal. And if she's only bringing sex appeal without the emotional support and the financial support, who fucking needs her?
Somebody needs her. You, let me ask you a question. You don't believe in
they don't need her. They want her.
There's someone for everybody. There's someone.
Yeah, there is. But they're not happy.
They're not happy, but they have that someone.
Yeah, they got someone. There's somebody for everybody. I mean, you know, there's always a fat guy with a fat girl, a fat guy with a skinny girl, a fat girl with a skinny guy, you know. Yeah, there's always somebody for somebody.
All right. Oh, my goodness. All right, y'all. Yeah, Joe putting it out there for you tonight, huh? Joe,
you want to take a look at the way situations really are? You've got to go to YouTube and just download some of the episodes from Wife Swap.
Oh, man, don't tell me about that.
Oh, it's interesting as hell about how they, you know, the women, they you know, they're exchanging their families. Then they criticize the other mother for what they're not doing right, and then they talk about it at the end. Yeah, you got to see that.
But see, isn't that what makes everything so wonderful? That, you know, everybody works on things differently.
If they do it and they make it right, it's fine. But if they're criticizing each other and then they got to get into tears, and then sometimes the husbands might get a little incensed and stuff like, it's interesting.
Okay. I mean, I've watched it a few times, and you know, I've also mentioned on my show a few occasions where, you know, I sit and watched you know, these little game shows or these shows that come on late at night, and the way that the women and the men interact with each other, and I just shake my head sometimes because I'm just completely surprised. I'm like, wow.
Oh yeah, they don't they don't know each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't even know each other. Like they say the show, like The Bachelor.
Yeah.
None of them even know that man, you know. But only thing they know is at the end they get this big diamond ring and probably some money. So everybody in love real fast on the show.
If you've ever followed up on The Bachelor, I think something like 95% of the people who have said, you know, they were going to get married didn't get married.
Right.
Because on the show, you're being taken to Switzerland, you're being taken to France, you've got very rich, luxurious settings, and everything is scripted for you. It's Hollywood romance. But then after the show, you got to go back to real life.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying. You're getting your airtime, so if it don't work there, your pitch has already been plastered. So you get your 20, 30 minutes of fame.
Mm-hmm.
And if you write, you can write it for a little while. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Joe. It's just
the easy thing to do. I mean, if you know, if you really, really want kids. Now, see, I'm the kind of guy, I don't want to bring my children, my flesh and blood, into this world. I would love an adopted kid to the same degree I would love my own natural kid. Because kid, I didn't bring the kid into the world, so I don't feel guilty about this kid being here. And if I believe that the kid, as long as it's not a bad seed, if it's a good kid, then I could be a good father. Because I've been good, you know, what can you say, good uncles or good friends to kids. You know, kids really like me. I really like kids. You know?
You know, when you say that, I'll picture you like a Santa Claus.
I'd be like a Santa Claus to a degree. I mean, but
Joe, really, mm-hmm. why would you be better off with adopting? Would it be that if the kid, you know the kid is a bad? If
you
adopt,
you don't really
kid,
know. You don't.
Yeah.
Really, you never really know. But if you find out about the background of the child, if the background shows that the child wasn't beaten, wasn't molested, and let's say the child is like 4 or 5, and you notice that there aren't any real idiosyncrasies in the personality, then if you really want to adopt, if you really want a child, I would recommend adoption. I don't recommend marriage just to have a child, because when you do that, what happens? It doesn't guarantee that the mother and the father are going to be good parents. As a matter of fact, when you take a look at the world around us, how many people are good parents? If we were such good parents, then why do we have all these wars and psychopaths?
I don't have an answer for that one. But I see your point. I do see your point. However, I'm a counterpoint with saying,
mm-hmm.
Now, even though you may not, you've done the background and the parents per se, and everything
right.
is fine, you still have no idea what DNA this adopted child has.
Well, you might want to, you might know. DNA. You might know what the DNA is, or the sperm donor. You might know.
But what about the one that may skip the generation and hit this one and be released later on?
Right.
When you're sleeping and they standing over you holding a knife, to my, here's Johnny.
Well, that's a bad, bad situation. Watching too many Jack Nicholson movies is what the kid's doing, you know. But then again, you don't have any guarantee that your natural born kid isn't a bad seed either.
No, okay. Well, I know mine is not a bad seed.
Well, I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm talking about the generic you. How?
No, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, but when parents get together, they don't know. So, I mean, I favor adoption because these kids need to have parents. But you don't need to bring in a child, you know, into this world.
Mm.
I think it's irresponsible of a lot of people to bring children into this world. If you can't financially support that kid, then don't bring a fucking kid into this world.
You know what, Joe? I'm with you on that one. I had a 13-year-old cousin asked me a question the other day. When should I start having sex?
13 years old?
13 years old. Mm-hmm. I said, when you can financially take care of yourself, your child, and the woman that had that baby, that's when you can start having sex.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Once you buy that house.
So let's go on and put it out there. If you can financially afford it, then you can start having sex. It's just that simple. Why sugarcoat it?
Mm-hmm.
If you big enough to ask me, I should be big enough to tell you the truth. I really mean it. That's the way I feel about it. Now, some people may think you told him the wrong thing. No, I think I told him correctly. If he can't afford it, don't do it. It's just that simple.
Well, especially at the age of 13.
Yeah.
After the age of 17 and 18, I started late. I was the late bloomer. When did I start? 21.
Yeah, you be 27.
You got to be kidding. That's your first time?
No, that wasn't my first time. That was my first child.
No, I'm talking about my first time. That's when my
cherry. Okay.
That's my cherry. 21, I lost my virginity. but prior to that, I didn't have sex. But after that, then I think it's a matter of when should you not. I think anybody should have sex if they're responsible for having sex. Me, I have to. When I look back, I was duped into the way that I was doing it.
You were duped?
I was duped. I'm not talking about some broad seduced me into bed and I didn't know what I was doing. What I'm saying is the way that I had sex, the way that I did it, I did it according to what was called the rhythm method. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah. Well, that rhythm fucking method, I'm lucky I don't have about 14 kids. I'm lucky I don't have about a few kids running around. Because I did it right, but it takes away from the pleasure. You've got to time yourself. And you are putting yourself and the girl that you're fucking in danger. So that rhythm method is full of shit.
What? Okay, so who, explain to me, who taught you into that?
Or well,
it
was just
you read up on.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, in order not to make the girl pregnant, but in order to enjoy sex without a rubber, you do that, and then you withdraw just before you're about to really engage in ejaculation, you know, so that, but you're not...
Look, at 21, you have that. You don't have that kind of control.
Well, you do. You'd be surprised. If you really don't want to have children, you'd be surprised. You have control. It's not a control where you're in the last throes of orgasm, because when you when you're in the last throes of orgasm, you don't have control over your body. Your body automatically is pumping. But just before you get there, you withdraw. And then you finish up as soon as you withdraw. So in actuality, you're making sure as much as possible that the girl isn't getting pregnant, but you're not really enjoying sex as much as you deserve.
But Joe, really now? I mean, okay, that's the final act, but you still not guaranteed because you know you do have pre semen and all that other.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But
nobody never. You
but
know.
I've never had a kid, so I was doing something right.
No, the Lord didn't want you to have any.
Well, He's so good to me.
Oh my goodness! Oh Lord, have mercy.
That's a lot.
And
of
what
fun.
About that?
Mm-hmm.
What about that? Let's say. Man or woman marry, and then they get a divorce, and then they marry somebody else, and they want to have a kid. Now, how do the other kids already in the house feel about that? Especially if it's, you know, a step parent or what have you. How would you think the other kids feel about that? I don't know why that just came into my mind.
Wait a minute, you're saying that man and woman have a kid, they get divorced,
right?
The kid is staying with who? The father or the mother?
Either or.
Okay, so let's say he's staying with the mother, and both of them are now remarried?
Just one of them.
Which one?
We can say either or. Okay, man. The man is remarried.
Okay.
Right. And his wife wants to give him a child now.
Okay.
All right, but his biological kids are still staying with him.
You're saying the biological kid is staying with the mother.
That dang old Joe. Okay.
So you want to switch it up. All right. So they're divorced. The father is taking the boy. Is it a boy or a girl?
It don't matter. It's his biological
kid.
It's
the biological kid. Let's say the boy. So he's taking the boy with him.
Okay.
So he remarries, and the boy then he has a stepson. A stepbrother.
Do you think kids readily accept that, or
if they're young enough?
It doesn't depend on age.
Yeah, I think if they're 5, 6, or 7, you can explain to them, you're going to have another brother, another sister. You know, ooh, yeah, I don't want a sister. That pains the ass. Yeah. No, your sister's going to be wonderful. Blah, 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 blah. You know.
Okay.
I think if the new boy or the new daughter gets more attention than the prior child, that can cause a problem. But I don't think that. I think it's far fewer problems this way than if a blended family came together.
Hold on for a minute. Let me see.
like the Brady Bunch. How can you believe the Brady Bunch?
You know what? That had to be the most perfect family there was.
Oh, jeez.
You know, everybody got along
Everybody got along.
You know, they had little minor issues, but other than that, everybody was no fighting,
no
monkeys,
drugs,
struggle,
no problem
nothing.
With school. The housekeeper was perfect. Everybody got along. It was great.
That's the perfect family right there.
All the families, if you notice, the families in the 60s, early 70s, not the early 70s, that's when All in the Family came around, but all the 60s families, they had no problems. They had little issues taken care of properly. It was great. Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best, Mary Tyler Moore, the Brady Bunch, which was the 70s. Even the Partridge Family was practically a perfect family.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to have to go back to my Good Times.
Good Times was a great family.
I know. That's what I'm saying. For what
they were in the ghetto. But, I mean, John Amos was a strong father figure, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Florida wasn't no weakling
either,
though.
Florida was a good, strong mother figure, too.
Yeah, yeah.
They made sure their kids were going to school. They didn't get into trouble. That was a very good, and it was a funny show, too.
Yeah, it was. But it did have, its great points. And see, what else was? It was a lot of others. Sanford, Sanford and Son was just.
Sanford and Son was just comedy. Pure ridiculous comedy.
Yeah.
There was no learning there. It was just comedy. what other shows were around? It was. Tootie. Remember the one that had Tootie?
Oh, yeah. Family, what was it?
Family
Tootie?
Ties. No, Family Ties was a great show.
Not Family Ties.
But that was a great show.
Facts of Life.
Yeah.
Yeah, Facts of Life. Yeah, okay.
But they came from, they were in Boarding School, I think it was. But
yeah.
Family Ties, was it Family Ties with Michael Fox?
Yeah.
That was a good show.
Yeah, it was. And then you had, what was this other one? With the Drummonds, with Arnold and... That's when you really...
Oh, that was the most ridiculous fucking show.
Why? Why was it? I mean, look, it was just ahead of its
Gary
time.
Gary Coleman and...
Yeah, but it was ahead of its time, you know what I mean?
It was absolutely ahead of its time with one single father taking care of two black kids. Oh, that was the most... And then the other show...
He had a white daughter, too.
Oh, he did? Oh,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they all got along... And what was the other one with the other little kid that didn't grow up?
Webster.
Oh, that's another great fucking show. Oh, Jesus. Could you get more unrealistic?
So there are examples that we can go back and look at and say, okay, this is the way it can be. This is the way. There's no way in hell.
It should be good examples, but it didn't reflect what actually was happening on at the time. It was something that people could aspire to, you know, but it wasn't something that was actually happening during those times.
You know, then they brought Archie Bunker on that just...
Well, Archie Bunker was more realistic than anybody else.
I was about to say, you know, that was, I guess you say, was kind of sort of reality.
Jesus. And then you had the Jeffersons. That was unrealistic.
He's going to
take shit from a fucking maid? I don't care how funny the Jefferson character was supposed to be. He's supposed to take that kind of shit from a maid? Please.
Well, I mean, think about it. Charlie Sheen does it in 2 1/2 Men, Berta. So.
Oh, that's true. But that's true.
And then they had the Cosby Show.
Now, that to me, I can never understand why that show was popular.
Easy. It made sense. I mean, it didn't make sense, but it was something that hadn't been seen. And even though it was sort of kind of unrealistic per se, it still had good points to it.
Oh, I didn't think it was unrealistic because it was about a doctor and a lawyer who got married.
Right.
I didn't think it
was
unrealistic, but I just couldn't understand why it was popular.
It was a good show.
There was no conflict in the show. Everybody got along.
There was always conflict. But it's the kind of conflict that could be solved in 30 minutes.
Before the commercials came.
Yeah, before the commercials. But no, it gave a it gave the country a whole nother view of what, I guess you say, a successful black family could is supposed to look like.
Yeah, even black middle class.
I mean, think about it. Theo, growing up, Theo kept a nasty room. He wouldn't do. He was failing there, dinging there every class.
Mm.
See, but one thing he didn't see was the spankings. They got a stern talking to or punished. But the way that would happen sometimes was even funny. However, yeah. All right, Goofy, you say you're going to call into the bitch. You only got 9 minutes. I'm just saying, if you want to call in and continue to hear
Goofy
live.
Doesn't want
to
call in?
I guess he must be on one of them dates again.
Oh, poor Goofy. Who else is in the chat room?
I don't know. Two guests in Love and Light.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? It was popular because there were positive role models. You didn't see the normal, you know, I guess you say shuck and buck jokes and, you know what I mean? Yeah. It was intelligent people, you know, going through everyday issues.
Yeah, yeah.
The only problem only thing I have with shows like that and any show that come on TV, I want to see somebody trying to catch the light man to keep from turning off their light.
Well, that happened with, what was it, Good Times?
Yeah. Well, that's about the one and only one.
Good Times was a good show. I thought John Amos was a funny guy. I thought he was funny.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't a typical comedian. He acted like a good, strong father, but he was funny. JJ, I remember there was a lot of criticism about JJ. I didn't think JJ was that controversial. He was just a funny kid. I think they have a lot of kids like that in families.
Yeah, well, it's just the way he portrayed it in the beginning. You know, one thing I've noticed, though, and
I think in real life, have you ever seen him on doing talk shows?
Yeah.
I think he's an idiot. In real life, he's like an idiot. And that was,
I ain't going to say that. I mean, he's not funny in real life.
He's
to
not
me,
funny.
But anyway, yeah.
He is not a funny man.
Oh, Lord. I can't.
He
had
no talent except for JJ.
Yeah. But it still gets him where he's going. Dynamite. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, Lord have mercy.
And I thought what's her name? I don't know. The one that married Bill Cosby and the Cosby. I thought she was the perfect wife, and I thought that was unreal. Well, that's the kind of wife you'd like to have.
Yeah,
no whining,
kind of
no nagging.
Yeah. Well, she didn't have to whine because, you know why?
Because
she held her own, too. She was a partner in the law firm.
Right, but she didn't whine.
Yeah. She didn't have to. She was stern.
Oh,
but she
look,
didn't whine.
Yeah. Try, yeah, okay.
Yeah, think
all
about
women
it.
Freaking whine. No matter what their status is, what their degrees are, how much money they make, they are whiners.
They're
whiners. She didn't whine, though. That
well,
was unreal.
No, she didn't whine.
You know, she went along with the.
Or was it a very light way of lying, want of whining?
Well,
because she really didn't whine.
She didn't whine.
Really
she didn't nag. They had whatever the differences of opinions they had. They did it comically. It was good without a lot of controversy, without a lot of contentious.
Well, you know what?
Attitude.
Now I'm glad you said that. She did nag, but like you say, she did it comically.
Yeah.
Remember whenever he had to go to the doctor about his weight or whatever, she would always be on him about what he eating.
No, I don't remember that, but I mean, I can understand it. Yeah.
yeah.
I didn't watch the Cosby Show that much. To me, it wasn't interesting. And the other, what was the spinoff? They had the one where they went to the black college. That
a
was somewhat
world.
Interesting, but
a different world.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was somewhat interesting, but
it was. But it, you know, after a while, you can only take it so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hold on, Goofy on the line now, so let me bring Goofy in. Mr. Goofy, glad you can join us. You through handling your business, man?
Oh, yeah, I'm done. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
In between,
you must be on the road.
In between blunts, we hear you.
No, I'm setting up my show, so I'm going to sound like this for just a bit.
Oh, okay.
But,
all right.
What are you guys talking about? Old school shows or what?
Oh, basically, yeah, now.
Yeah, you know, and the way the families were set up. And,
how about asking him the question that you asked Mary and see what he does?
About what? What question? I moved
the
on.
Kid lying. And...
You already know what damn Goofy going to say.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
All right, Goofy. Here's the situation, Goofy. You dating a man, and I mean, you dating a man. You ain't never dating no man. I take that back.
Yeah,
Goofy.
Yeah, you know me.
You're dating a woman, all right? And you have a kid, and your kid does not like this. In fact, they don't like anybody you bring home. So they constantly create a lie to have you to break up with this person, these people. However, you know they are lying. So are you going to continue to believe that child and take your child's side and not be with maybe the one that's there for you? Or what are you going to do? Just put it what you're going to do.
This is where hidden video comes in. You know, if the kid is complaining that, oh, you know, Sally's slapping me around. Okay, I want to see some proof. Hell no, Sally's a nice lady. Why would she slap you around? But if you're over there causing a ruckus, making Sally wanting to slap your ass around, then you deserve it. But as of this situation, I would beat the living crap out of my kid and say, quit fucking with my life. This could be our only chance at making it a family.
All right, I'm with Goof.
Why? Did I say something bad or something?
Nah, I'm with you. How can you say something bad if I'm with you?
Oh, you're with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's with you on that one.
I'm with you.
Joe, you're full of shit. You're never with me, man.
I know, so today's an exception.
Hey, I agree with you too, Goofy. I agree with you.
Yeah, so what all happened right. was we had a real-life situation where a woman called in. And we turned the discussion from the original discussion of the step-parents and what we talked about yesterday to that same situation Eric just described to you. Now, she was in a real-life situation, I guess a number of them, where she knew the kid was lying. She had a daughter. The daughter was lying about the boyfriends. The mother knew that the daughter was lying, but got rid of the boyfriends anyway.
Well, see, that's a particular person that's going to live alone for the rest of their life. If they let their kids dictate what they want to do, them kids are going to grow up and they're going to fly the coop and leave you all by yourself.
Well, that's what most kids are going to do anyway, but, yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, if you're going to live for your kids,
yeah.
Hello, you got to live for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, the kids are there, but yet they got to understand that, hey, you're alone, you need some companion, you need somebody, you know, and they got to understand that shit.
Now, here's another thing, Goof.
Uh-oh.
Not only did she know that the kid was lying, right? She said that if she kicked the guy to the curb, the guy should come back and try to win her back. And then what I said, well, what would happen if it was in the reverse? I think Eric asked that. And she said, no, she wouldn't fight for a man, but she expects the man to fight for her.
Well, we all know what that is. That's a plain old selfish bitch. And like I said, she's going to live alone for the rest of her life. How dare her say that?
Well.
Hold on, gentlemen. I got somebody on the other line. Hold on.
That might be the one who called. I don't want to mention her name because no. The one who called in was actually very. She wasn't aggressive or antagonistic.
No. She wasn't any of that. She wasn't Miss Lady.
No. Uh-uh. She held herself very well.
Mm-hmm, exactly. She was a quality woman. See, there's another one called the show.
That's Mr. Solution. We have to come in on that one, right?
That's right. Dang it.
And I'm back. Did I miss something?
Nah.
Yeah. Nah, we're just saying she was a quality woman. So, no, nah,
yeah, the one who called
lady.
In, she wasn't like Ms. Lady. She just gave her opinion, and that was it. She wasn't contentious. She wasn't arrogant or anything like that. But we disagreed.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, you know, say go off ballistic, but I mean,
I understand the way that you feel, though.
If you know the kid is lying, why sit there and ruin your life when you have a kid that's lying?
I agree with you. But,
you know. Yeah, I mean, we both agree with you.
We just didn't give the girl hell because she wasn't a bitch. I mean, she wasn't bitchy on the phone, so we just didn't give her hell. We just found out her opinion. We had differences of opinion, and that was it. But if she was like Miss Lady, I would have dug right into her until Eric.
You would have got the shovel and you would have hit her a good one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, Goofy, here's another thing. Remember the situation we was talking about yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, here's the situation. Now the father is beginning to shy away from his biological daughter and gravitate toward the little boy and his mother that did the molestation. What you think about that?
Well, I think they're all sick. I mean, come on. Your daughter, your own daughter, was molested by this kid. So you're going to throw away your flesh and blood to try to raise a family that's going to, you know, end up probably, you know, screwing you in the end.
And here's another thing.
I don't understand some of these people and their decisions. Life is not that hard. Seriously. Mm.
Not that hard at all.
I mean, everybody wants above and beyond. When they can't, if they get it, say for instance that, you know, the father, you know, goes with that woman and her that son that molested the daughter.
Uh-huh.
Then he went for them. Next thing you know, that kid rapes somebody at his school. So now he has to go along with the mother along this wonderful epic adventure of going to court, hearing how, you know, your stepson that you gave up your daughter for is out there raping people.
Mm.
I mean, come
it's
on.
Impossible.
Somebody offends, and you know, most of the time they're going to repeat offend. Seriously.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Unless they got the Clockwork Orange remedy. I don't know if you ever seen that movie, Joe.
Yeah, with McDowell. Malcolm McDowell, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually haven't seen the entire movie, but I know what it's about. Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, there's a part where they, you know, show somebody some very graphic things, and it makes them think a little bit. Mm. But that's what people need to do nowadays. They need to see some graphic details on things that happen so they could understand that is a no-no.
Wait a minute now, because when I said, oh, that was Vernon that was said I shouldn't do that. Because remember, I said that I was going to take mine down and let him stay in jail for a couple of nights.
Yeah, scared straight. Yeah.
Yeah. You know. So
the thing
like,
is,
okay.
And with me, it was a rough decision for me because it was, I assumed, or I put in the little twist that the kid was a bad seed. If the kid wasn't a bad seed and the mother was responsible, then I'd have to withdraw from the mother as well.
Uh-huh.
But I wouldn't want to give up my relationship with a good woman just because
right.
of a bad seed. But
right.
then again, we started talking about marriage and living together after that. And I'm not the marrying kind. I don't believe in cohabitating.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in separate residences and share your life together. But separately.
Why waste the time and effort to go into something knowing that it's going to be a destruction in the end?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's what I don't get about some people. Like me and you, Joe, we share a common interest. That we could survive all by ourselves.
Absolutely.
But we do need the fruit. That kind of, you know, tingles our tongue once in a while, you know?
But I'm not
and
getting tired
And we could go
to
any farmer's market and get whatever, you know, fruit
whatever
and
low-hanging
vegetables.
Fruit, yeah.
No, I don't mean by fruit, but I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But, you know.
No, I happen to
agree. And some people, and a lot of my women, they're just like this. They need somebody. They don't care how dirty, how low-life, no morals, no manners. They don't care. As long as he's there, they can beat the living crap out of him. But they don't care. As long as he's there, they'll love him forever.
Could that be, you know what, I'm glad you said that. Couldn't that be a product of what we was talking about already? Molestation? Or just low self-esteem?
I would like to have a show on that because I believe that more women, you can
the more you mistreat a woman, the more attached they will become to you, as opposed to the way if you treat them decently.
They you really think so?
Oh, I absolutely think it's true. Absolutely.
Let me tell you something, Eric. I treat women like, you know, like they're my girlfriend. You know, every one that I'm out, you know, I wine and dine them, you know, make them feel so happy. You know, mm-hmm. they love me for it. They call me the ultimate boyfriend. I don't give them no trouble, no nothing. But yet they tell me about their previous relationships.
Mm-hmm.
How these losers would just, you know, like to make them punching bags. And they're idiots that'll stay there regardless. Because they love him. They love him.
There go that word again,
Joe. That's all I hear is, the reason why I stayed was because I loved him. You know what I mean? It's like, does love really have to hurt like that?
And you know something? These same women, because they've had shows on TV about this, these same women who will clamor after the abusive boyfriend,
yeah.
they very easily reject the nice guy. And you say, well, how come you do that? I don't know. Just not my type.
And if they get a nice guy, they won't even deal with it because they'll feel like he's too, you know, not man enough or whatever.
Or too good to be true or not enough drama. They need the fucking drama.
There go Joe. There go Joe. So Joe say, regardless of what happens, women need the drama, and that's what makes them happy.
95%, and I'm using this as a conservative number, of the American women, regardless of the stripe, the creed, have to have melodrama in their lives. They have to have it.
It's true. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and if they don't have it, they'll create it. They want a man to actually get angry at them. They want a man that they can have, that they can challenge. They don't like harmony. Now, most of the time, women will call in and say, Joe, you're fucking crazy. And these are the fucking women who are cursing me out without trying to learn another situation, without trying to learn the twist, without trying to learn what's true. And then when they finally calm down and I question them, I say, well, how many relationships have you been in where you've actually either paid for somebody or had harmonious relationship for how long a period of time? How often do you actually enjoy just going out to a picnic or to Disneyland or having fun without any type of arguments whatsoever? And they can't give me satisfactory answers.
So, okay, I'm going to ask this one question then. Do you think sometimes a little disharmony is a good thing for a relationship?
It depends. Now, if it's non-harmful, like, for example, I like sassy women.
Okay.
I like women with a sense of humor that can give zingers. But if they're going to do it like Lady, no. But if they're going to do it like Ebony, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Or you've been on the show. You've been on All Girl Talk Radio. You've been on Muse.
Yeah.
I've said, I don't know if you were there, but if Muse and her sister combined together,
mm-hmm.
into one girlfriend, that'd be the perfect girlfriend for me.
Okay, I see where you're going.
Because Muse is such a great personality, and Angie is so cool and calm, right? And she's not a male basher,
right?
And she understands the male point of view. So if you can combine their two personalities together, to me, that's the kind of girl I would like to meet, personality wise.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love a girl who can hold her own, who can be sarcastic without trying to be harmful.
Right, right.
But, I mean, if you're trying to play games just to make me mad, just so you can get some stimulation in your life, no. You can have stimulation without trying to be a bitch.
Mm, right, right. I agree with that. I agree with that. 200-300%. Yep, I do.
And the world would work more easier if they didn't act like a bitch. Now, let's take me for instance. If I was to settle down with one of my ladies, I know the first topic of discussion would be any chick that comes up to me and says hi, she would automatically think that I fucked them. that would be the first topic.
You know what? Knowing your history, she may be correct.
She has a point there.
Now, I fucked a lot of women, but then I didn't fuck a lot of women. There's a lot more out there that I still want to, touch. But I'm only located in one area, so it's not like I'm mobile where I could just, transfer myself to Paris and just bang all the Paris broads and, go to Spain and fuck all the Spain women. But no, it's just that was always the fight. Out of everything in my relationships is that, someone can't come up to me and say hi without me, fucking them.
Hmm.
Well, even so, Bubba Goof, is the woman being mad at you because she thinks you fucked every broad that says hi, or was she mad at you because she knows that if she turned her back, you would fuck the broad?
Good point. Good question.
No, she's mad at me because thinking that she's tied me down, that I would have the audacity to even look at another woman.
Prior to meeting her?
Yeah. No, as of being with her.
Oh, okay.
When a woman ties a player down, she thinks the whole world of herself. Mm-hmm. Like she has some extra power. Trust me, I've seen this before.
Okay.
And when, say, for instance, someone that is, maybe a little bit more attractive than them or maybe even less attractive, they still see every woman as a threat because there's a little itch that needs to be scratched, and all I have to do is flip the switch, and there goes the player again. What I mean? If I was to ever settle down.
Okay, let me ask this question. What if, we're going to reverse it a little bit, you got your girl, you met your girl in the strip club, what have you, and, y'all gonna settle down, okay, and y'all walking down the street and guys are looking at her, would you think the same thing in the same, the same thought process? Would you have the same thought process? Or would it not even bother you?
As a person of my stature, I would say that I would feel honored that they would sit there and fantasize about the thing that I'm walking with. It wouldn't bother me that, because women are dime a dozen. A lot of men don't understand this. It is so easy just to go out there and meet somebody, Someone always has a story to tell, or someone's always willing to take a story.
Mm-hmm.
And, me being who I am, I don't see myself settling down because I know it's going to come with those type of problems. I can't be relaxed and enjoyable and, say maybe flirt with the waitress and call her darling, stuff like that, because it irritates the shit out of them.
Irritates out of who? Irritates who? The girl or the waitress?
The girl.
Oh, okay.
The one that I'm supposed to be settling down with.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as being respectful, shouldn't you be that respectful not to do that anyway, if you're with her?
We're talking about a waitress here that, is kind of, I don't know, your servant for that night. I mean,
can't you
at least say, thank you, darling. You have a great night, darling. Or, I don't want to call her.
But not beyond the bonds of reason for you to have possibly fucked that girl either. If you chose the restaurant, the girl might think, you might just want to bring her to the restaurant just to show her off, and you want to show her off to your past fucky, which might be the waitress.
Wow. And
I'm not a one of vengeance, so I would never do that type of stuff.
Oh, okay. I mean, look, if you fucked over a few hundred women, right, then no matter where you go, Goof, you're going to meet your ex fucky.
Oh, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
you know, I'm not one to just say that, oh, I go out and I don't see one. I see one almost all the freaking time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. But I'm just asking, because I'm just thinking, you know.
But I mean, I agree with Goof about the darling thing to a waitress, because, you know, he's saying that to a waitress.
Yeah, but if that's the way that you normally talk or greet people, yeah, that's fine. But if you're going out of your way to say that to this waitress, don't you think there may just be a problem with that?
Well, I don't know how she might know. I can understand getting a little bit leery and have a radar up if she knows that
that's
the guy
right.
that she's
okay.
dating's fucked 200 uh-huh. fucking women.
Right.
And, you know, and took her to the restaurant of his choice. Now, if she took him to the restaurant of her choice and he said that, she should not have an issue.
She should not have an issue.
No. I mean, thank you, darling. That's nothing.
Okay, yeah. If it's like that, then yeah. Like I said, if it's simple and, you know, yeah, like that. But if, you know, you putting a little inflection on it and, you know, kind of giving them little big googie sexy eyes or what have you.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can see Goofy saying, what's on the menu tonight, my little darling? But even then.
No, I don't get like that.
You
I would
know.
Be like, you know, you know, what do you have on the menu, darling? You know, something like that.
Oh, that's
you know,
nothing.
Yeah, that's
outrageous.
Yeah, that's nothing. Okay, yeah.
Like what are you wearing underneath, you know, your
yeah,
skirt?
Nothing. What are you wearing
like
underneath
that?
Your little skirt, darling? Yeah, that's nothing.
Right. Yeah, no.
Can I see what you're wearing tonight, darling, underneath that little, again? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
That's nothing. I've seen.
Go ahead. Go ahead and try and let me know how that turned out for you. I'll be very curious.
Do a survey, Joe. Just go to 10 restaurants and see where how far you get.
Yeah, like I'm about to do that. Yeah. No. I would think she'd be kind of justified in getting up and leaving, you know. Can I see what's underneath that little apron of yours, darling? You know, nah, that wouldn't be me.
I don't know. Someone may get mad enough to where they just order everything expensive on the menu and dare you to say something.
That's never happened, but if that did happen, I'd sit her fucking ass down. I'll take out her credit card and have her pay for it or chase her in the street and bring her back. None of that
Lord.
Shit.
Joe, that's called assault.
That's fucking okay with me. I've thrown broads out of my house physically.
Yeah,
I don't have any problem.
And what
I don't.
He did was armed robbery right there. I mean, that's
basically. No. You're not charging you're not fucking charging $150 dinner and up on me and getting away with it.
Hey,
and
you just said that.
Not even sucking your dick, huh, Joe?
No. No fucking way.
I mean, you just sat there and asked this waitress, can you see what's under her little smock?
First off, I wouldn't act like that. And if I met a broad like that, which is very possible, because I've met some fucking wackos. I don't mean really wackos, but probably if they had the opportunity, would become really wackos. But if some broad wanted to play a game and just charge $150, you know, just ate up everything in sight, and all of a sudden she says she's going to go to the bathroom, and then the fucking check comes, and she's not around, and I see her out there on the sidewalk, I'm dragging her ass back in. She's paying for the fucking dinner because I know she's trying to run out on me.
good luck on that one, Joe. That one sounds.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, yeah?
That sounds bloody at the end.
No, it's not bloody. It's just either picking her up or dragging her back inside the fucking door and sitting her down. And I'm telling the management, I didn't order this. She ordered this. And then if they wanted to battle it out, but they're fucking pointing to me, I'm not paying it. I called up a dentist. I had the fucking receptionist ask the fucking dentist to make sure that their free consultation was a free consultation. I go to the dentist. I get the fucking treatment. I'm there. I'm about to walk out. The dentist says, okay, he can be charged a certain amount of money. I'm looking at him. He's walking away. I'm looking at the girl because she's the one who verified it for me. I say, bye-bye. She says, you can't leave. I say, yeah, I can. So I'm leaving. The fucking dentist comes out and says, sir, where are you going? I said, I'm leaving. You didn't pay, sir. Ask your receptionist. She said it was free. And then he looks at me. I look at him. He doesn't want anything else to do with it. He says, have a good day, sir, you know, in a very sarcastic way, and walks back inside. So nobody's charging no shit to me.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's the way to do it. I mean, shit. If something's free, it's fucking free.
Well, yeah.
Don't advertise it if it's not free.
And I had her verified. I listened to it when she went and talked and got inside the doctor, the dentist's office, and I heard it. So
okay, so she actually went inside. When once you got there, she went and actually talked to the doctor.
No. Before I got, I called up. I wanted to find out how much it was for this particular type of procedure. There was nothing. Uh-huh. It was a cavity. And she gave me a price, and then I said, well, you have either it was advertised as free or a free consultation. She says, yeah. And I said, to make sure, because I had this done before, where I went to a dentist, had advertised free consultation, and then they wanted to charge me. No way. So in order to avoid this bullshit, I had her ask the doctor before I got there. So she asked the doctor. I heard her ask the doctor, okay? Then she comes back and says, yes, it's free. I go to see the doctor. I wait for a few minutes. I'm in the dentist chair. We do the thing, right? He does the X-rays. There's no real need to have anything pulled or any cavity done that particular day. But he wants to charge me for it. I said no. You know, I just walked out. I wasn't going to argue. I was just going to walk out. So she must have called out to the doctor. And while I'm walking down the stairs, I get to the bottom of the stairs. He comes out and says, sir, where are you going? Then I told him, your receptionist told me it was free. Now, he acted like he didn't believe me because he says, well, have a good day, sir. He walks back inside. But, you know, if you wanted to pursue it any further, that's fine with me. So the same thing with abroad. Now, if she wanted to fuss and fight in the street and, you know, and really get into a real ruckus and shit, then I wouldn't be able to bring her back inside. But if I could bring her back inside without a whole bunch of fucking, call the cops, man! That's what's going to happen.
All right.
You know, Joe, you're starting to worry me because I'm over here thinking you're causing so many crimes, you're worse than me.
For defending myself?
Joe, look, Joe has the law on his side.
I got my standards. I can tell you of another stand that I got, which would make your fucking hair curl.
What's that?
I have one particular standard where anywhere inside my house, the broad is free and clear and safe. Okay? I mean, because, you know, I understand how chicks can actually, for the first time, they want to come over to a man's house, the second time. They don't know the man that well. You know, they're hoping that they're not going to be molested on the couch or raped or clothes ripped off. Inside my house, you're safe, except my bedroom. Do not go inside my bedroom unless you mean business. If you want to tease me on the couch, okay, fine. You won't come back, but no problem. If you're going inside my bedroom, you strip down naked, and now you're going to say, oh, God, no, I don't think we should do this. You're in fucking trouble.
Ooh.
Your clothes are thrown out the window, and you're leaving my house
naked.
Oh,
Joe, I did that. I've done that before.
Have you done that, Goofy?
It was maybe 10 years ago. I took some fucking broad home from the club. She was blowing me in the car and everything, and right when we got in my room, we're all naked. She just pushes me back and says, no, I can't do this. And I'm like, oh, really? Okay. So I gather all her clothes. I open my door, and I throw them out. She goes, what are you doing? I go get your clothes. So she went and got her clothes, and I just closed the door on her.
That's what should happen.
Plain and simple.
Don't fucking play games with me. I've had broads give me blue balls. I've had broads that I've taken out, right, when I was when I was too young.
Okay.
And they end up in my bed with the period.
Oh, there you go.
That's happened to everybody. Now, the first couple of times, I had not the same chick, but the first couple of times, I thought it was like, okay, you mean you have your period and you still want to, you know, cuddle with me and kiss me? And I'm feeling good.
But after a couple of times, I had this done four times to me.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. They may think it is okay by them because they had, but I paid for the date. I picked them up. I went through this bullshit. And now they're here in my bed. And even though they don't think, and they may not think they're doing something wrong, but I had a sneaking suspicion at least one just wanted to give me fucking blue balls, you know, just because it made her feel good.
Mm.
That's why I got this fucking rule. If you're on a fucking period, you know, if you want to go out, we can go Dutch. I don't care. But don't go inside my motherfucking bedroom and start teasing me and then expect me to say, well, okay, dear, I mean, that's the way you feel. I understand. No, you got to understand me. You're not in my bedroom to play games.
Wait a minute. Whatever happened to the dragon in the Red Sea? I mean,
what the fuck is that?
The menstrual cycle?
No, keep your fucking Kotex to yourself. Don't bring it in my bedroom. No bullshit. I don't want any bullshit. That's what I'm saying. I don't like bullshit. I'm too old for that shit. I'm over 40. I don't fucking go for that bullshit like we were in our 20s and shit. No, fuck that. Play it straight or don't play it at all.
Okay. And are these the perimeters you're putting out before y'all get to going wherever you're going, or you just try to let it take its course and shit happen to get there, then that's when you let the let your rule out?
I'm letting my rules out, and I'm setting my boundaries. I don't want any bullshit. No fucking misunderstandings. Don't fucking tell me that, I'm changing my mind. Now, if you're sick, that's a different story, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm with you. But if you're not sick and you're fucking in front of me naked and you're going to tell me that I don't think we should do it right now. Okay, we don't have to do it, but your fucking ass is naked out the door.
All righty. Okay.
You know what, Joe? I haven't had something like that happen, like I said, 10 years. But I mean, before, I think when I was like in high school, I would get that a lot. I mean, I was always dating older women. Like, I was in high school, like, I think I was like 16, dating like someone like 24, 25.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pulling that same shit, like, oh no, you know, we should wait. One step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're both butt booty naked. You know, you've been jerking me off for the last past half hour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much more fucking time do you want? You already know the goods. You already see what's happening. Why do all this and just leave me like that?
Because it made them feel good. It made them feel in control. You see, people think that broads are made out of sugar and spice and all things nice. Men are not the only ones that have an avaricious nature. They're not the only ones that are larcenous. They're not the only ones that are immoral.
Mm-hmm.
Most women are the same as men psychologically in terms of morals. So until you come across a woman who has shown herself to be a real woman, I think it's right for us to expect they're just normal human beings who just want to do fucked up shit for the sake of doing fucked up shit. Now, if they can accuse us of fucking them and leaving them just for the sake of fucking them and leaving them, I think it's reasonable for us to say, you know what? You do the shit you do for the same reason. Because it's just fucked up.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Now, I've heard some women actually say that, too, so yeah.
Oh, yeah, there are a lot of women who will agree that there are a lot of women who are fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not the only one who's saying this shit.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about as far as, you know, they just want to get laid. That's all they want. They don't want no names, no numbers. You know,
but
give
see,
me what I want and that's it.
I don't understand when the women that just want to get laid, you know, everything goes smooth. You know, instead of playing all these little fucking games like, oh, let me jack you off or let me blow you in the car. And then when we go to your house, I just don't want, you know, I don't want to do it. I can't believe I'm here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like
then 24.
And that one I threw out. that one I threw out, I felt so proud of myself. Even though I was walking around all hard as shit, I was proud of myself.
She should have been thrown out. No bullshit.
I mean,
she's 24 years old. She knows.
How the fuck dare you? You know what I mean? It's like, you over here, you're doing what you're doing, and then you just want to stop. What,
yeah,
did you leave the iron on? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, that can be kind of, yeah. I can see the frustration in that. Yes, I can.
Oh, but you know what? Shit. The thing about after that, I woke up mad, so I called, you know, one of my exes, and I, you know, I gave her the, oh, you know, I love you, I want to get back with you. I fucked her and never called her again.
Well, that's rotten, Goof.
Yeah.
That's not good.
So you just did what you...
Nah, you lied to a fucking woman for no reason. That's not good.
See, that wasn't nice, Goofy.
No,
that really
wasn't good. No.
You don't care. I can still call her to this day, and she'll fucking still love me.
See?
Yeah, but still, you did that wrong. Yeah, that wasn't right.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Now, you guys got to remember, Goofy Bone stings them with the disease. Now, this disease is... non-curable. It's called Goofy Bone Syndrome. Now, when these women walk around with Goofy Bone Syndrome in them...
Well, look, if you're telling women that and they keep coming back for more, then I gotta wonder where their brain's at.
Nah, that was 10 years ago, Joe. I don't pull that shit no more. All right.
Because I don't think...
I don't pull that shit no more because I see where it landed me one time and I didn't even want to deal with
not
that
in a
shit.
Good place, did it?
No.
Damn.
It's bad enough when you tell the truth and you got to end up in trouble. You got to fucking lie.
Right?
Now I tell the truth where I don't even have to worry about jack shit, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... I've never strung a woman along. I've never lied. I never cheated. I did do one thing which was really bad, but I didn't...
What's that?
It was, I fucked a friend's wife when they were separated.
Hey, okay.
But they were separated,
yeah.
And they were both Catholic. And
now
when you're...
Now, Joe, I'll see you in hell.
What does that have to do with anything?
Because when you're a member of the Catholic faith, I don't know about now, but years ago... If you got separated, that was 99.99% sure you were getting a divorce, that everything was just destroyed. The relationship was gone. So I did it. But when I think back on it, you know, 99.9% is still not 100%. They didn't get divorced.
Uh-huh.
So I wouldn't do it to him again. I have had one mistress. I didn't know the husband. I didn't, you know. So if she and I've never,
man, I had one of those.
I've never pursued an extracurricular relationship. In other words, I've never pursued a married woman. They have pursued me.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted to fuck, and if I said okay, because I didn't know the husband, or I didn't like the husband, maybe that to me, I have done.
Okay.
One. I haven't done it like a regular basis, but I don't pursue married women. I don't pursue women who are with boyfriends. I leave them alone if they pursue me, or if we just happen to really like each other. And let's say they've broken up, and he's not my boy, right? Like we're not really close friends. I might consider dating her, but I wouldn't date an ex of a good friend of mine.
You know, speaking of that, that you just said that you didn't know that somebody, one of my old coworkers, I met his wife online, you know, on Craigslist, you know, I was just going through ads, and I just happened to answer one, and then, you know, I met some chick, we were fucking for about a good 6-7 months. Until, you know, we had the Christmas dinner.
Oh, shit. Christmas. Oh, God.
And
oh, fucking God. No,
God.
Not a fucking office party. Oh, Jesus.
Can you say
that? No, the guy never found out, but I mean, oh, my God.
You fucking dodged a bullet and a half.
I'm
telling you, Job, Jesus.
I should be dead 10,000 times.
Oh,
Wow.
Oh, my. And then the awkward thing, he's introducing everybody, you know. And then when it comes to me, I'm, you know, over there by the, you know, caviar and, you know, the little stupid, you know, entree that they have. And I'm there choking on my caviar like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, that's something you just do not want to experience.
No. I mean, you know, no. Is that his wife?
There's a couple of things I'm scared of, and then that pretty much, you know, that almost scared the living crap out of me right there. I was just like, shit.
Was that his wife or his ex?
No, that was his wife.
His wife. Ooh.
Whoa.
His wife. They were married for, like, I think 10 years or something. Mm. And she just, you know, he wasn't doing it in bed, so she was, you know.
Oh, boy.
Looking for something on the side, and it's like, oh, wow.
You know what? I wouldn't have considered you responsible, because if she didn't tell you, I could see the guy getting mad. But if somehow, you know, you could calm him down, I wouldn't be mad at you, because
Joe,
you didn't know.
This is the manager of my department, Joe.
Yeah, Joe. That wasn't gonna turn out good.
Nah, first he fires you, then he kills you. Yeah,
that wasn't gonna turn out good. No kind
of
way.
And the funny thing is, we always thought he was gay.
Oh shit!
We thought he was gay because he never had no family pictures of anything. Mm. You know, he would wear bright color ties. Mm. I mean,
that may have been the truth. I mean, his wife was coming to you to get satisfied, so you never know.
Yeah.
Well, no, once I found out, I cut it off right there. She called me. I didn't even answer her call.
Mm.
I was like, oh, my God, no. That's, like my dad used to tell me, never shit in your yard because you're going to step in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I've lived by all my life. And
that's why I don't date chicks from my building or from my neighborhood, because when we break up, I don't want to see your ass. You know? Busted the gossip.
You know what?
I lived in one neighborhood where there was gossip going around in the building. And luckily, I wasn't part of it. But that taught me a lesson, you know. Don't fuck the broads in your building. But
you know what? As simple as that sounds, that's one thing that a lot of people fail to realize. You know, if it's that close, don't even, you know, no. Because like you say, if there's a chance of you breaking up, now you got to see that person all the time. Everybody is not adult enough to be cordial when they see you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So no. Then you got
imagine riding the same elevator.
2.5 men. Huh? Yeah.
Imagine riding the same elevator if you're in an apartment.
Right.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
And I'll tell you, you know, if I break up with somebody, if they break up with me, and it's in the same building, and we have to see each other, there's still going to be some bad blood there. And that bad blood never goes away. It's like a scab that's never fully healed. So I just don't want to, you know, but let's say that's my fucking rule now. You don't fuck somebody in your building, and preferably not even in your neighborhood, because I don't want to meet her in the fucking supermarket or down. I don't even want to see her walking across the street.
Wow. All right. All right, y'all. I need to get up out of here. My mini-meter started snoring. I need to handle him now. So, all right. Goofy, final words, and tell me about your show tonight. Are you doing a show tonight?
Yes, we're doing a Baller Friday dedicating the night to those who worked hard all week to earn that mm-hmm. paycheck. And
okay.
To everybody out there here on Mr. Talkland, I just want everybody to realize and recognize that, you know, we care about people. If there's a situation that you can't handle and you need help with it, we're here to help you. That's why we're here. You know, we all put our opinions out there to, you know, help mankind. Let's just put it that way. And I hope everyone takes this advice that we give serious, because we're serious about our stuff. And that's all. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yeah.
You got some of Joe Clapp tonight. All right, Goofy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And what time show is? In about 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Yeah, okay. I'll see if I can't check you out for a little while.
If you guys can, if you guys can't, it's all good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. I'm sure we'll come by for a hot second.
All right,
Goofy. Thanks. All right, Mr. Joe. All right, you too, Goof.
Take it easy, Goof. You know me. I'm quiet. Good show. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks. And same to you. Hey, get some rest this weekend before I'm going to sleep on people's show.
No, I'm going to sleep on Monday's show.
No, man. Show. I'm sure it's going to be a good one. Nah. All right. All right, Joe. Thanks.
All right. Take it easy.
All right, y'all. Woo, I tell you, another great show. I tell you, man, Freedom Friday. We start one place and we always go somewhere else, but it's always information, informative. Always has a lot of information. There you go. I know. All right, thank you for joining us today. Do not forget, if you got any comments, anything you want to send, just go to ericletstalk@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter at DrivenForLife, FRR62. And or you stop by my Facebook page and leave a message there. Let's talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. And I guarantee you, I'm always checking all of them. So if you want to leave anything, got a suggestion for a topic, hey, just go by and leave it on one of those. I catch it. Trust me. All right, my closing for today. Ooh, man. And we're going to go back to what we was talking about earlier with the molestation and children. Because parents need to know how to talk to, you know, we need to know how to talk to our children, regardless of how old they are, you know, their mental capacity, your mental capacity. You know, you still need to be able to talk to your children, especially things about touching, you know, just straight up molestation, period. You know, what is not acceptable, and that you're able to come tell somebody, you know, someone. And it goes to say a little something like this. You may see things that are really messed up, and it'd be a real struggle to know what to do. It could be what a guy's doing to another guy, what a guy's doing to a girl, or a girl is doing to a girl. It could be at school, in the locker room, at a party, even in someone's house. You know, in the first moments, when you realize something's wrong, it's really easy to not believe what you're seeing or convince yourself that it's not serious. Now, other people can try to convince you that nothing's wrong. Trust your gut. Or think about what I think if I could see what's happening. Now, remember, this is you talking to your child. If you can't speak out in that moment, I'm asking you to leave the room and call me or another adult that you trust. Sometimes these things happen so fast that it's hard to really process what's happening. You can always tell me, and I can help you figure it out. Now, let's be honest. Most children do not tell anyone they have been abused, and those who do often have to tell people several times before anybody does anything. No, not the first time, but sometimes the second and third time before somebody really pays attention to what the child is saying. That's not a good thing, people. You know? I know that's not a good thing. You know, I know some of you are like, man, my child too young to talk about all this stuff. And, you know, in a perfect world, we wish everything was different. We do. Well, we wouldn't have to worry about this kind of stuff. But our sons and daughters live in a world where all this is possible now. We have to be ready to stand for what is right. And the only way that's possible is if we find the words that matter to our children and let them know that we are available to talk to no matter what. No matter what. All right, y'all. That's the show for today. Join us Monday for Soapbox Monday, where you can stand on your box and talk and discuss any topic, no matter what it is. Remember to keep smiling. Show appreciation to those that you love, the ones that love you. Forgive with an open heart. Because if you say you forgive and your heart is closed, you really haven't forgiven. And remember, you have to forgive yourself sometimes first. All right? All right, y'all. Well, I'll see you Monday, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 12 Pacific. Have a great weekend. I am out of here.